This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hi diddly ho, neighbors. 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is Q-Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside this week's cast, which consists of Kat Carlton.
Oh, hi.
Jason Carlton and Al Perkins is sitting right there. What?
Similar.
Yeah, I think you just Marnie Ryer'd their names.
I said Jason Carlton.
No, you got mine right.
Yeah, Kat Carlton.
Oh, you're Kat.
Jason Carlton. Yeah.
They have to know the story of the marriage.
The Lord and Lady Carlton.
Yeah, but that's when it changes to Carlston.
Oh, okay.
The Lord and Lady.
If you guys want to do it different, then get your own show. That's what I would suggest.
I thought this was my own show.
It's Al's.
Mine.
Marnie Ryer is probably out there somewhere in the interwebs listening to us. If so, we can wave at her. Hi, Marn, if you're out there. She's
Better.
Oh, I'm sure.
I did a little text messages before to get an
recon.
Update. Yeah, and she's feeling better, a little battered about the lady business. That's not really true.
Wow, that
the
sounded
abdomen.
Good. That sounded
wow.
Fantastic.
Why don't we use actual like medical terms in this case?
Her tummy.
The one that's actually right. In that profession.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you, Alfie, the one who knows most about... Well, I wouldn't say he knows the most about the lady business.
I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable.
I think you would have some knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Marn certainly is going to have some.
I know almost nothing. It's there.
Oh. And apparently parts are removable. We know that much.
That's further up.
Yeah.
Further
yeah,
north,
that's...
Further north, uterus or whatever.
Further... I'm not even going there. No, I'm stopping right now.
It's quite all right. You don't have to worry about it. Right now, currently, look, it's the nighttime shot behind you.
We have a nighttime shot?
Nighttime downtown Phoenix now behind you, which I love. Look.
Beautiful.
Oh, I know.
Downtown
we can go
Phoenix.
This way. Looking larger.
Look at... Zooming right in.
But you can't... What sucks is the picture's imperfect... is perfectly focused, but you're just not as all. It's just a challenge when it comes to things like this.
I'm going to hit that fucking eye or die
what?
Trying.
Well, the
joke. It was hitting me. Just getting ready to point out some stuff, but then I realized that I don't know where we are.
It'll work out somehow. Oh, heavens. I have to make
I'm gonna stop Marina Rying this thing in a second. As soon as I can get this fucking thing to copy-paste this goddamn story.
Good work. I'm going to have to introduce you to my system, which is called Pinterest, where I just like fling all my links there and then they're all displayed nicely when I go onto my profile.
Yeah, that's what this is supposed to be, but it won't do the hyperlinks anymore.
Yeah, see, mine displays them like this. What possible show? If you're interested, you can look me up on Pinterest. Just search for Kat Carlson, Kat with a K, Carlson with a C.
Oh, I kind of like that
idea. I know,
idea.
Isn't that nice? And so then all of my devices I install Pinterest on. And then when you do the share feature, like if you're on your phone fucking around and you
find share? Something.
Share?
S-H-A-R-E.
Yes.
Totally different.
I also have...
Emoji this.
I also have a share feature on my phone, clearly.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
It's because you were brought up, oh. Right?
Yeah. That'd be great if that was a text tone. Every time you got a text tone.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
That's totally happening later
you
today.
You can do that with an Android. I can't do that with a...
Yeah, that's going to happen during Jason's segment when I'm totally tuned out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This just in. Jason has a segment now. We didn't
know. I didn't. I was unaware.
Congratulations. It's your birthday.
I'm as prepared as you are.
Wow.
I'm 100% prepared.
Well, now you admitted when you got the... Oh, something's vibrating. What's that? That's happening.
She has it
my
on,
department.
On lesbian Power Ranger
no,
mode.
No shit. That's the phone that keeps on giving right there. I'm thinking...
Text me again.
No.
Remember that old beeper commercial?
Yes,
with
I do.
With the crazy like... sweaty looking fat guy with a beeper in
was
his lap.
Was it J.J. King of beepers?
I don't remember.
Oh. That was
I feel like that's a 30 Rock skit.
Oh, it sounds like it. I can't get...
Oh my God, that's the second reference to...
You've done it twice.
He was the beeper king.
There's a lot going on in 30 Rock. To
Whoops, look at this. What the hell's going on here? I have to type.
Hi, Brandon, Aaron. I may or may not try to get in the chat room. We'll see if we can take one more page on this thing. We're going in for one last one. This is Jason Carlton.
I feel like one of the
friend friend of the family, kind of my mini me.
Yeah. Yes. And for
all right.
We got the two balls.
And actually, if you look at the lower two quadrants of the screen, that Al is on the on your left.
I know, which you're trying to make it more confusing because wait, yes. I have the same sweatshirt right
now. Oh, look at this.
Look oh my God, we're a Puerto Rican dance troupe.
Wait.
It's oh. the new Menudo.
Yeah.
Bald
no,
Menudo.
No, it's kind of the old Menudo. Yeah.
Can
Let's
we
be clear on which Menudo we are.
The balding Menudo.
I kind of want to just refer to you guys as Black Al and White Al.
Which
based,
one?
Based on t-shirt color.
Oh.
Clearly, Black Al, White Al.
White Al.
More mocha, I think we're getting. We're getting
mocha chocolata bullshit.
We'll go with bougie.
Can we be that? Can that be the word of the night?
It is going to be the word of the night.
Oh,
yeah. Spoiler alert.
Bougie.
I'm so excited about it.
Oh, Marnie is watching. I just got a text. Actually, Al got a text. She was in this too. Marnie's watching us on a flat screen TV at her house while she
look at her
while
go.
She recuperates. Look at her go.
I'm sure girl.
It's her and 87 dogs watching. And I don't mean and I don't mean that Aaron is there. That's not what I mean. I mean like her brood of animals. You know, because yeah. she's
menagerie.
She's got like a
she's up to like 42 now.
Something.
Isn't she?
Well, and I to forget. Was there a horrible right. story about the Patty Hearst dog, or is it still alive?
Oh my God! Something Hearst, happened to Patty Hearst.
No, Patty Hearst is still alive. One of the other ones.
Oh,
poor
was,
unfortunate
oh, was there
soul
a demise?
Didn't make it. I think so.
That's a Disney reference.
I feel
so far we've got a Disney reference. We've got
two
30 rocks.
The same character 30 rocks.
I think I pretended to be both interested and sad during a dog story recently.
Well, there is that.
Two emotions I'm not real good at.
I realize I should have started coffee earlier than
poor
I did.
Poor unfortunate soul.
Not kicked in yet?
Huh? No. I started coffee last week, like at noon. So,
oh my God!
You were real jazzed.
I
up
need
last
to
week.
Listen
only,
to last week's show.
I only, well, if I post it, you
it
can listen
like
to it.
It was like you were.
I mean,
doing
optional.
An ode to Whitney and decided to blow
oh,
lines in the
no,
bathroom.
No, no. I just
there was
I started on coffee like at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and it had really kicked in by the time we got.
Was
here.
It, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before that we realized about a half a cup less than what he had. Probably was where the line was.
All right.
Not the line he snorted, but the line
right,
of good
the line
taste.
Of good taste.
And we all know that the snorting lines coffee. Is not real with me because this is not the body of a cocaine user.
Well, that's
we
where
all,
the bougie started today because Al ordered coffee at lunch and the kind waiter brought it over in a to-go paper cup. He sat it down. Al looked at it and said, "No, this is not going to work for me. Excuse me, garçon. I'm going to need this in a real cup.
In a ceramic
cup." I was not that
cool.
Like, okay.
And I turned and I looked at him. I go, "Listen, bougie bitch. You
right.
need to calm
first
it
up,
down with that."
The second part of the story is true. The first part was like, I kind of wanted, because they have nice cups and you get the whole pot usually. So I was kind of expecting to sit down to like the little French pot of coffee or the mm-hmm. French press. So I really wasn't expecting the cup. So we were enjoying two desserts. So I wasn't the bougie bitch he just described me
yes,
as.
Yes,
however. However,
but it really came off that way because I'm like, I kind of wanted a coffee cup, but I really, and then he brought it over and the whole thing with the tray and the pot and the little thing of creamer. And I did drink
That's
the whole
nice.
Fucking pot of coffee.
And then he did a bend and snap and winked. So
yeah, it was.
Yes.
But then it just, we just shared bougie
but
bitch stories.
Based on my knowledge of you and as many years as I've been around. Totally possible story.
Yeah,
what he explained.
Well, the use of the
I'm
word garçon would
either.
Not come out of my mouth because garçon yeah. means boy.
Yeah, but that's what in French class they teach you to holler for the women.
I know, but it's kind of rude.
Yeah, well,
but I learned that too.
How to be rude in French?
Yeah.
Well,
the French
good to have a heads up.
You know. I think yeah. I think he knows that in English too.
Though.
Yeah. Oh boy!
By the way,
a little boy.
I'll get this out of the way right quick, just because it just helps me later on. This is show 237. This is the 17th of November, 2015. Speaking of being angry in French, let's just get it out of the way right now. Holy shit! What a week from Paris.
Oh yeah.
Holy crap.
It's kind of nice vacations for all the CNN anchors.
Oh, they're all over there.
Oh, absolutely.
They're all live from La Place de la République.
Right. And it's so funny. If you watch, like if you channel surf and get all the news, they're all around that fountain. Like you can see where they're all positioned just out of each other's camera shot.
Yeah.
But they've all got the same sign and the same thing in the background of all of their
and
shots.
And I jumped in the one, I think it was Saturday evening. I jumped in a little late in the story. Like CNN's always on. I'm just not always in front of the TV.
Right.
Kind of like same at your house. There's always yeah. a news station on. So, and then Jason's cute. Looks a lot like
it. It's okay. It's
slightly fresher version.
Slightly
more recently than I have.
Yeah. So they were showing like Anderson Cooper from this angle, and then they were showing, you know, La Plaza de République, like
mm-hmm.
from a slightly different angle, and I didn't realize that there had just been some kind of panic down the side street, and they had the camera there in case something happened. But I'm like, are you trying to pretend that your people are on two different corners when the guy on his bike walked from this one to that one?
Are you
Joey Arias trial, downtown
Phoenix. They would be 13
they had,
feet
like,
away.
Two different correspondents.
Because it was HLN and CNN sitting right next to each other, but on two different stations and like interviewing each other.
There was some point where they were on the same screen, interviewing each other, and the
split
bus went
screen.
By.
Yes! It was through this shot, and then like 3, 2, and this shot.
There's the bus. Yeah.
I totally remember
God loves the news.
But I don't know. So the whole thing with Paris is... It's so strange that we're being just... I feel like the news is just bullying us into going to war again with something that you can't quite define.
Right, you can't...
If we invaded, where do we invade? If we take over these two cities, do we stay in these two cities for eternity? Like, does somebody... No. Do we try to sell them later? Like, do we want these
cities? Oh,
that's
fun.
Well, no, because that's the one thing is, like, you can... It's like Afghanistan. We've already knocked it into the third world. We're bombing the shit out of it every day, so we're going to go take it over... Take these people, force democracy down their throat, and then what's the next plan? Because we've watched that fail in like two separate countries for 15 years.
Well, we've done it a couple times.
Yeah, kind of a long time.
At some point,
do
we just say that country's lost? I mean, that city's lost. Like everybody can bomb it, everybody can go in there, but somebody has to actually want that city and stay there because we have to eventually leave.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these places that we invade, like unless we want
to
be,
we either need to colonize them.
We have to be the colonial. What's the word I'm looking at?
British Empire.
Yeah, imperialist.
Roman Empire.
We have to actually like build an empire and say okay. And I don't even know what the name of that town in Syria is.
I feel like I'm sort of on board with that.
But we keep failing at it.
Well, we talk about building a wall between us and Mexico. Why can't we just go build walls around those countries and say, you fuckers, stay in your own country?
Because we know that the walls don't work. It's just rhetoric.
Right.
Yeah. But what I'm saying...
The walls are really just to get people to say, build a wall.
Yeah. The point that I really want to make, though, is with all of these the countries that we have so many problems with and where all the terrorists live... Just make them stay there, and we leave them alone.
Well, that's like putting the gays on an island and making sure they don't reproduce.
Well,
It's
almost akin
it's
to
Manhattan.
That.
Yeah. But I mean, but now they're fucking adopting.
You know, the government our ally governments in Africa and in the Middle East and in Europe can all be like, we restrict travel to those countries. Nobody can come in or out. Like.
Eventually, they may have to get to that. Yeah. I don't agree with you, Marn. You're Marn in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room and you can't figure out how, sorry. Marnie's like, prayers for Paris. And I'm like, no. Religion is what got us into all this shit because they're all batshit crazy. I'm not praying for nobody.
And, you know, if prayer is what you do, go ahead and pray. But seriously, religion is what got us in there. And now, I sent the picture. I put it on our page, the picture from Charlie Hebdo's.
I saw that, but I didn't know I was supposed to utilize that during the show. But I can get that.
I figured you would figure that out because it's such a racy.
The fountain de la champagne or whatever you want to call it.
And the translation to the cover is they have guns, fuck them, we have champagne. But the person on the cover is riddled with bullet holes and there's champagne coming out the bullet hole. So Charlie Hebdo has seriously kept the freedom of the press. Really alive, and for all the things that we think we are as far as like freedom and freedom of speech and all that stuff, France really practices it. Like, you know what I mean? They're satirists.
You know,
they're willing to be shot in the street and then go back and just
and then
keep
go back and just
them.
Keep
well,
fucking
yeah.
doing it and keep going after the people that they're basically calling out. Absolutely. And you know, I think first of all, I have a super personal connection to all the things that happened in France because I was. Actually, just in between jobs, I worked like both jobs on Friday, and in between, I was just kind of on my couch and whatever. And all of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up, and everybody's like, "Have you heard from the Nortons? Have you heard from the Nortons?" A family that we know very well had traveled to Paris for a wedding this weekend, and we're kind of in the middle of it. So there was like that panic, and we don't know where they are, we don't know what they're doing, and it turns out that their apartment was across from the restaurant.
Oh,
yeah,
gotcha.
And so they were super close. Luckily, they're fine. They're in London now. They're far away, but luckily they were touring the Eiffel Tower when shit started hitting the fan, and so then they were kind of stranded and were wonderfully taken in by strangers that they had met on the street, who had children their same age, and, you know, just kind of through broken French and broken English, like, communicated. Yeah. They spent the night in a stranger's guest room, like, this whole thing, and just wonderfully taken in. And then the next morning, like, Paris got up and just went about business, and people, like, lined up to give blood, and people, right. you know, started yeah. seeking ways to help, but people did not listen one bit because, you know, authorities are telling them stay inside, right. do not go out.
Oh, and exactly. I love that. Like, the shelter-in-place yeah. order that went out during Boston after the marathon, and that whole, when we found out that Boston has a military, as yeah. we find out that city after city has a military.
Kind of weird.
But the shelter-in-place didn't really work. Like, there were parts where people stayed away, but they were just one block over.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't the Eiffel Tower on the other side of the river from where everything happened?
I don't know. You know what? I haven't sat down to really, dissect it and put on
a
map. Like, where
I believe they're a bridge away, but were. I don't know. Like,
yeah. There's left only a way to look that up.
Yeah.
Like there would be a way.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, but yeah. the river runs right down this.
I have the picture that you were talking about. This is... Al was just talking about a picture. Al, if you'd like to re-explain what this is.
That is the cover. I think it comes out tomorrow of Charlie Hebdo. And that's the, I don't know if you'd describe it as kind of like their Onion, the Onion. But it's a national paper. And at the headquarters where the people were assassinated
right.
in January. And they had the mass shootings of the cartoonists and the... this is their headline for tomorrow. And I didn't see it at first. I didn't, like... see the whole thing until I saw that they were champagne coming out of the bullet holes, and I'm like, mm-hmm. God damn, these people are on the edge. Like,
and they don't think it's too soon.
But it was one of their managing editors that put the that has the meme that's going around, or the quote that's going around on Facebook saying, "We don't need your prayers. Religion got us into this mess."
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, we have life, liberty, champagne, and it lists all the things that they have. They don't need your religion. So, I mean, but again, that comes from Charlie Hebdo. Like, that doesn't come from the people of France. It comes from these people that just deal in that kind of, like, in
your face.
They
got hit once, they got back up, and they're going to keep getting up.
Oh, and yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of, yeah, exactly, Marty. And that's where we're agreeing with you on that. We are absolutely agreeing with you.
Continue this. I've got to run out and turn down
yeah.
the feed. I keep hearing us in the other room.
I was wondering what that was. I'm like, wait, there's like a very like subtle something in the back.
So, and Marty, which is just so an nice. Interesting point, but we're definitely agreeing with you. And like the Port au Vert, I don't know, Port au Vert, how do you say that? Door open, the hashtag that everyone brought in the night that everyone was like running through the streets and couldn't get home. They put out the hashtag, and if you just told someone, you just hashtagged that and said, "I need somewhere to stay. This is the neighborhood that I was in." I want to say it was Port au Vert.
I don't know. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to.
I don't know how you pronounce that word.
It's French.
Yeah. But it was just, European. It was a wonderful hashtag that went around. And people were taking in strangers. Like, no one was checking IDs or religions at the door. They were just taking people in off the street. It was kind of an amazing thing. And it went around almost immediately, this hashtag, because social media is the way that this
is the way to get shit done, for sure.
Yeah. So it was their reaction to it just kept with that spirit that, you know, they kind of stole their revolution from us. They were like, "That's a great idea. Let's try that shit." But they really took it a little bit further than we did.
Sometimes I feel like they did it a little better.
We took a little bit of their philosophy and made it ours, and they were like, "Fuck you, it's ours."
They were like,
"They took it back."
And
we had a few people, you know what I mean? So just very good, and we're glad to hear Marnie's on the mend.
Everybody's in the mend. Everybody's moving on, making magic.
And good morning, Nero, and Ant, and Brand, and everyone that's in here.
And by the way, if you've got a story in particular regards to the whole Paris situation, let us know in the chat room, because if it's any one of our listeners and it's a connection to you, I would kind of find it interesting to find out if you have a direct connection similar to what Kat just said. To my knowledge, I don't know anybody who lives in Paris, really. The only one that I have is I follow a hot dancer on Facebook, so I messaged him to make sure
he
was okay.
Yeah.
Didn't respond directly back
has
to
he
me,
posted
but
since?
He has posted since. Okay. So I'm Giannis Marshall is alive and well.
Oh my God, I love Giannis Marshall.
Oh yeah.
And one of the weird things was that the concert, they weren't releasing what happened to the band. Like, and I know there was no connection to the band. It was just that it's a popular
a gathering
concert
spot. Yeah.
Concert place.
Yeah.
Venue
and it was sold out and packed.
But the fact that they came in but they didn't shoot the people on the stage, I thought was an odd, although the news didn't come out.
Yeah.
I think the person that handles their merchandise was killed, But the fact that they didn't, I just thought it was a strange, I don't know, you don't, can't get in the mind of terrorists of what they were aiming for, but that they didn't
go for the stage.
Yeah,
visual.
Go for the stage. Whether that was so that the people wouldn't know it was really happening, if it just was to keep it so it was coming from behind them. But it was weird, and everybody that was on stage made it out like almost immediately. Like those people hit the dirt and got out. So it was a question all night long of where they were. The band's Facebook page and family members were very concerned, and I thought, because I was like, does anybody know how
that's super terrifying?
Not that the famous people or the people of note should get
mowed down to,
but at least they're we find out how they were. Like we don't, you know, everybody else is kind of anonymous in the crowd if you don't know if people went to the concert. But did they get mowed down? Like, is this, you know, it's an American band from somewhere in California?
Aaron, what you posted is exactly what I was talking about. Aaron has a friend whose kinda boyfriend lives in Paris, and they couldn't reach him for a couple of days. He turns out he was visiting friends in Normandy where there was no phone signal. They found out he was safe. So we get another connection, and I guess it's one of those things. Like you were saying, social media. One of you made a comment about social media is so big. It literally makes all of this, it's like we all have a connection. Aside from being the human race, the sanity part of it, being the ones who don't want to kill everybody.
Right.
It's like all of a sudden it just makes everybody together.
Connected. It's very connecting, right. Yeah. Because you can...
Unifying.
Social media and the internet increasingly brings other people's point of view right in front of us.
Mm. And that hashtag was so fast and so... It was so clever, so easily thought up, and the people just did it so fast, I thought was just amazing. And I can't remember, somebody famous put on there, like, right away on their page that the hashtag was available. And it was somebody that is famous, like a European famous person, be like Kylie Minogue in Australia. Like, you know what I mean? It was someone that I follow that's European famous, like ABBA or some shit. But they put it right on their page
Hasselhoff.
To look for... Yeah. It was Hasselhoff.
The Hoff.
That's right. I was watching an episode of Baywatch, and he asked that to me.
I often wonder, because those memes come out, like the Kermit the Frog memes where he's sipping the tea, like the one I posted today on Facebook, those come out so quickly. It's like somebody's just sitting there waiting. Like they're just sitting at home with like every screen
on. I've
got on.
A Kermit the Frog and a tea. When am I going to get to use that?
Yeah, like they just sit there. Because these things get cranked out very quickly, the memes and the hashtags. So it's like somebody's in charge of all that.
Memes, and it turns out Abraham Lincoln
super
said
easy.
Something about everything.
There are apps for that.
Yeah.
I create memes like left and right.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't get that.
I'm a meme-making motherfucker.
And, I mean, we're 3 years past me finding out about hashtags and then actually using them
And finding out that it really wasn't about hash at all.
Yeah.
The hashtag was porte ouverte, which does mean open door. Yeah.
Oh. What'd you say, Jace?
I still call it a pound sign.
Oh.
Yeah. Pound sign.
Get out.
Katie June will not stand for this.
We will not have this.
I got to see the Katie the other morning.
Tyranny.
We shall henceforth just call you Mariah.
She was at my new place of employment doing a photo shoot with the Travis.
Atta girl.
For something that... Festival of Tree of Lights or something.
Oh, for Ion?
No.
Mocha Choca bullshit.
Who
I
don't was know, she with?
Festival. She was with Travis Shumake.
Oh, Travis Shumake. I think you meant Travis. Why can't I think of his name? No, I'm thinking Kevin Bouchard. Wrong person.
No, and she had a lovely little daughter there, and she was the one holding the reflective.
Oh, I see. So they were shooting Palmer, or Palmer was holding the reflector?
Palmer was holding
it. Palmer's at work already?
I was going to say, Katie's got
helping
her.
Helping mom get photographed.
Yeah.
There's a shocking turn of events.
Yeah.
That's a Kardashian family in the making.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Molly used to think that the Junes were like the Kennedys. Now I'm feeling more Kardashian.
Because there's not an envelope opening that Katie has said no to yet, I don't believe.
No,
so.
I don't think so. No.
She goes to them all, which... Hey, that's how you get to where
Why
you
Why not?
Yes.
Not about hash. Hashtag not about hash.
I don't know that you and I turned down a whole lot of events either. So.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, no.
No, no, no. Paid or otherwise. Wait, there's a microphone, there's lighting and booze? Shit,
you
I'll
put
be
me
there.
On a stage and give me free drinks?
Come on! Woohoo!
You had me a microphone.
Valid
Clearly,
point.
Every Tuesday.
Valid point. Every
Isn't that
Tuesday.
How we got you here?
Several hours after alcohol has been served.
Yeah. I don't have a microphone in my house. What did you do the last couple of weeks? Where you been?
Where have I been? Well, you know what? I took off. I took off a show just to kind of be home. My kids are adjusting to a new like schedule with their dad and everything. So the way things work out, I don't actually get to see them very often anymore. So I just took off a show to be home and do nothing. And I thought about listening, and then was like,
How bored were you?
I have other things to do.
Or were you?
No, I wasn't. No, it was great. Yeah, we were just home being a family, watching musicals, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, which I'm so excited. I'm raising little tiny gays. So this actually happened to me. A 10-year-old little boy says to me the other day, "Hey, Kat." I said, "Yeah, what?" He says, can we watch a musical tonight?
Oh.
I said, "Oh, well." I know. I got.
Of course you can.
I got a little choked up, and then I said, "Well, what did you have in mind?" And he said, "Well, something with the guy from the last one that we watched." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, which one?" He's like, "The one where the guy lived next door, and his name was Dexter." And he like gives me the entire plot of High Society, which we had watched a week ago.
She's yard.
I know. Yeah. So he's very into it. So
have you introduced him to the joy of Get TV and the Judy Garland TV series?
I just haven't had a chance. It's not intentional, but I have not introduced him to Judy yet.
Because that
A Star Is Born is long.
Yeah, he's a big fan of the Sinatra Gene Kelly combo, so we're working our way through
that's,
those.
And that's
yeah,
a good.
That's a good combo.
Maybe he's going to be a dancer.
A little tap dancing, yeah.
Oh, and singing in the rain. Before we got rid of the movie channels at work. Raise your hand if you don't want to watch Singing in the Rain. I would make so many patients watch Singing in the Rain. I love that movie.
I know. Oh, me too. And I can't wait. Like, that one is totally next.
But, my sweet baby Jesus. High Society. Before Silence of the Lambs was released, High Society was my favorite movie.
What was your favorite movie ever?
Grace Kelly could not be lovelier. The songs are fantastic. Celeste Holmes sings.
Good. So good. We just
lost the last one 2 years ago.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and so now I'm introducing a 10-year-old boy to the wonders of
the only person who will understand this reference in the Finger Lakes.
Uh-huh.
They have a sailboat that's docked,
mm-hmm.
and we looked at it a couple times, and it's called the True Love, and I was like, well, that's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I wonder if they named that because of High Society. So right. I walked down the dock and I went and saw it, and it's actually
the boat.
That's where the True Love is docked. And my sister wanted to go home for 4th of July and make potato salad, so we didn't get on the True Love.
What the fuck is wrong with your sister?
I know.
Well,
I think she's listening, and now she's mad at me again.
I mean, she's such a wonderful person.
But she doesn't watch movies, so whenever there's a big movie connection, it just escapes
her. Right past her.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah.
But the fact that the True Love, and I was like, oh, she's Yar. So it's still there, so hopefully one day we'll go there and get on the True Love, but that it is so beautiful.
What are you doing right now?
And it's we can get there before it snows. Fuck them. I can learn how to sail. Neuter cats. Let's try it.
Come on.
In.
How many
I'm
you
in.
Got?
What else? Other than that, not a whole lot. Working, loving the book fair job, and you know, still working at the bar because
you do.
Because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And then today I had an accidentally amazing day. We have my friends from the kids' school. We have a friend who was recently diagnosed with cancer and is just about to embark on the horrible journey that is with chemo and everything. So the plan was to kidnap him away and, you know, whisk him away on a boozy day of fun and forget about your problems. But apparently there was some miscommunication with him and his wife and the thing. So, you know, there was six of us who
is
were ready.
Is this the international sign for kids and wife? And what is this?
Things and things.
Family.
What's going on?
I like it.
Jazz hands.
Ooh.
Spirit
back
fingers.
Back to musicals. What was it?
Spirit fingers.
Spirit fingers.
Spirit
that's
fingers.
Right.
Yes. Jazz hands. So five or six of us had cleared our entire days and all of our schedules and had pushed everything off. So then we landed with nothing to do and we're just kind of staring at each other. So we went to brunch and had mimosas. And
we had a girl.
We had a fun girl's day. So that was fun.
Okay.
And here I am.
Look at you back for another week of love and tenderness.
Yes.
As we go around the table, Jason Carlton, you're next up. You have, for listeners who may not have been keeping up.
They don't know me that well.
Well, you get referenced here and there during this show.
That bougie drunk bitch.
Yeah, that's your code name, for sure. When the Secret Service is here, that's what they call you.
Yes. Please.
That's my code name. Bougie bitch.
Hashtag BB.
Yep.
Or pound
bougie
sign.
Bougie bitch is in the nest.
How's the new job going?
The new job is great. I'm now at the Hotel Palomar in downtown Phoenix. It's going really well. I just accepted a pickup shift for tomorrow night as well. So.
Oh, we were talking about that yesterday.
Yep. So I'm enjoying that.
Very
cool. It's going wonderfully. I was kind of promised at the beginning of it that, you know, since it's a restaurant and a hotel, that my hours would be shortened and I wouldn't be getting out of there too late at night and every night I've been there. It's been
sure
two,
hasn't happened.
You know, but it's for a good reason because we've been so busy that I just can't leave.
Now, are they saying that this is seasonal busy, or is it just they're like all we're just this is why how
they're
busy
just
we
an
are.
Amazing
it's
place.
Busy. Okay, it is more so on event nights like this when the Suns were playing on Monday and now they're playing tomorrow night.
There is so much downtown packed in that area, like where the arena is, and then you've got the ballpark just down the street, and then that hotel. All of it's Cityscape. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of that. There's just so much.
And now they've got Central Avenue closed because of the ice skating rink that they're currently putting in place.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumor has it that they're going to leave that up until February.
Yeah, they
so
do.
So that
means
Central's closed for 3 months for an ice rink.
Yeah.
So, but it's a
they
lot
did that
of fun.
Last year too.
Oh, they've done it for several years.
I don't remember.
They left kind of long. They left it up a little bit later because it got cold later in the year, and then it stayed a little colder.
Well, as long as people are paying to ice skate,
downtown,
like,
because everybody's like, wait, there's an ice skating rink in the middle of Central Phoenix, and it's 70 degrees outside.
Right, and it's kind of like when you go to, and one of my favorite places, in case you've never been on the team building pub crawl, we always manage to fit in the Blue Hound and Luster, and it's so lovely. It's just a lovely, lovely place. And
yes, I'm liking it. It is a lovely place, and it's such a good fit for me. So, yes, I've unfortunately left the gay bar world yet again. I've come and gone. I'm not going to ever say again that I'll never do it again. But I feel like I have retired.
I feel like it's always in all of our back pockets somewhere.
I mean, I'm sure you've said it, but then, knocking on a door if something happened with your job at the hospital.
Oh,
you could go running back and work at a gay bar again. And
I can still sling a vodka martini to someone.
With that attitude you've got so lovingly.
Exactly.
You would be more like Eddie, though, over in the corner, just with your legs.
We don't have a blender.
Yeah.
It's right there. I can see it.
We don't have one.
Blender's broken.
But hashtag bartender for life.
Well, there you go.
Hashtag pays the bills.
Absolutely.
Oh, it does.
Or if
my favorite though is when people actually look at me and they say, "Well, what do you do for your real job?" Bitch,
this is my real job,
and I've been here 70 hours this week. So if you want another fucking drink, show me some respect.
Yeah. Say please.
Yeah. Put a cork in it.
Yeah.
And there's weeks when I'm not working a million hours and not doing all the overtime, then I'm like, I made more as a waitress than I do here in this bougie place.
Right. Bougie.
My sheets got to be clean, bitch. What's that about?
And of course you had to bring up me sleeping in my trunk. Oh, it was a good night.
Huh?
No, I'm not mentioning me sleeping in my trunk. That's a fun story.
I've heard that story too. How did I
wasn't sleeping. Al was driving a minor.
Oh my god, Anant. Anant really does listen.
She listens because you pulled that memory up from years ago.
Wow.
Let's recap the story for those who may not be up to date.
We don't need to recap it.
No. Tell the story. We got time to kill.
Well, the first thing to know is my driver's license was revoked because of my seizures, because of the epilepsy.
No, this was before then.
No, this was. I didn't have a driver's license.
Oh, because I was still underage.
Ish.
This was 99 or 2000.
Yeah. My driver's license was gone for...
In the olden days.
So, yes, Al had no driver's license. We were all wasted, and there was too many people to fit in my car, so I happily volunteered to ride in my trunk.
Now, he would not surrender his keys. I was not drunk. The part of the story
you were.
No, I wasn't drunk because I couldn't drink. I was going through the epilepsy thing and was no alcohol. It was my year sober. So I was sober... And you wouldn't let me drive your car. And Ricky Rue said, if you tell him to get in the trunk, he'll let you drive. And I'm like, all right, get in the trunk. And he was like, okay. Bougie bitch has a BMW, so the trunk was comfortable. So we drove across. He drove across to PS West.
From Roscoe's, right?
From Winks.
Oh.
We were at Winks. And, ABBA and Donna Summer playing,
blasting,
because Live and More Encore had just come out, and somehow it was in your car mixed with ABBA, and he was in the back, and he gets out of the car, and he goes, that was some loud fucking music. And all I keep thinking is, if we get rear-ended or something, like, I'm not going to hit anybody, but if somebody rear-ends us, I'm going to have a body in the trunk, and I have I'm not drunk, but I'm going to get... kidnapping, attempted murder, and driving without
a
license.
Drunk minor in the trunk of his own vehicle.
Oh, that was the other thing. I had a drunk minor. And not in the Chilean way. No.
No.
Oh, man. I told you that story needed to be retold.
The 33.
I always forget about my year sober.
Right.
Yeah, there's all the other years drunk.
Do me a, do me a quick favor. Just turn your mic flat towards you. Just turn it right. Like, dingo, like that. That's all you need.
But his three is up here. Doesn't he have to talk
into
the three?
No, it's not the three.
No.
No, it's good.
No.
Hello? Yeah, that's
can
better.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's much better.
Oh, I think his, I think it does need to rotate a little.
Actually, you may be correct on that. Marnie may have jacked it up and I didn't realize it. Turn it.
Twist a little more.
A little more.
Right, keep going.
Try it now.
Do it now.
Now can you hear
me? Pull up more slack and turn
it. It's almost manly.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go that far. Give him, she needs more slack on her. There. Now we'll try it.
Okay.
Will my dick fit?
Right.
So anyways.
Your new drag name?
So.
Pound sign.
I went to a class this morning that I was like, oh, Christ. And we can fast forward through a lot of this. And I forgot that there were newer nurses in the room and they needed the first part of the class. Because I was like, bitch, we don't do any of this shit here. But then I realized, well, the new people need to know that we could do that if we ever changed how we operate. We could probably do those things that she's talking about on the PowerPoint. But then it was a very interesting class. Got my flu shot. So all you fuckers, get your goddamn flu shots.
Write that down.
I love me some Bill Maher, but the one thing he is dead wrong about is flu vaccinations. Get them. They might be ineffective for the year, but it's just play the odds, get the flu shot. I don't know how much they cost in public, though. I meant to ask that today. I was at Walgreens.
Like it was like $15 or so when I went at Walgreens last year. It's about there.
Well worth it.
And
yes,
I have been sick forever, and I follow your lead. I get the flu shot.
Yeah.
And usually I've always contended that in the winter seasons, I maintain a healthy glow because Crown Royal blocks anything from getting into my system.
I was on vodka, blocked everything for me, but I gave up vodka and I got the strep throat and whatever the fuck that respiratory illness was last year.
Well, that's why we need to reinvent our Thanksgiving from a decade ago and start adding vodka to our wine.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That was a fun day.
Okay.
There's no intervention needed there.
I don't want to be the one, the bougie bitch that corrects all stories, but I believe we were doing.
And yes.
I almost spit coffee out of my mouth.
But weren't we doing the Stolly Bolly from Ab Fab? Weren't we drinking vodka and champagne?
We ran out of champagne.
Probably. That's so bad. Yeah.
We
may have rolled downhill slightly into.
That was also.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
It's also when we decided to put cake in a blender and put booze with it.
Same era. I just don't want people to know that I drank Pinot Grigio voluntarily and said it was good at one point.
Well, that's why we added the vodka to it.
I'd like to have that redacted.
A little vodka, a little club soda, you think it's champagne.
We were drinking it out of a coffee mug, so nobody would really notice.
Oh, no. He drank, again, the bougie bitch that corrects everyone. He drinks out of a coffee mug so he doesn't spill it. And it's a smart idea.
That's super smart.
It's got a handle.
So when me and the drunk girls were in California, everybody got their wine in a coffee cup. I'm like, it's Italian. Italian for fancy.
Woo. I like it.
My share button. So Octothorpe.
We need a share.
Octothorpe is what a hashtag is called in Latin. I don't know. Bell Labs. When they introduced Touch Tone.
Wait, stand by. No, there's something there.
I do recall, they obviously was a phone reference, because if you remember on the old push-button phones, for those of you who remember, and actually even on your current phone, it has the little pound sign, hashtag. It was actually a usable thing at one point, but primarily nobody ever used it. You know, occasionally you hit star something to do something.
Yeah.
But that was later.
That was the least used button of all of them.
Back home, you used to flick the little, you know, because you'd hang up. Kids don't understand what hang up means anymore because why would you hang up a phone? I don't understand. Well,
and there's no drama anymore.
Oh,
you
know what I mean?
Like slamming the phone.
Bam! There is just no drama. Now it's like I went through a tunnel. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and that doesn't even work anymore.
Yeah.
No, but it used to be when you had the flip, even with the flip phone, you could slam it shut, hang up on that motherfucker.
Yeah,
remember when
it was
you used to be
feeling.
Able to like crumple some paper and be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Tunnel.
It doesn't work anymore. People are like, first of all, Facebook says you're sitting at the corner of Osborne and Second Avenue.
I got my Find Your Phone app on.
Yeah. No tunnels there.
Second of all, your Instagram just posted that you're drinking a bottle of wine straight out of the bottle out of a paper bag.
And all your
hashtag classy bougie bitch.
Octothorpe. bougie yeah. bitch. And then me, who gets myself in trouble by always commenting that my Verizon phone gets service in the subway. Fuck you.
Yeah.
That comes back to haunt me mm-hmm. a lot. Somebody's like, oh, I was in the subway. Yeah, and that's all you talk about is how
your phone
works
gets
there.
Service everywhere.
Motherfucker. Yeah. I gotta start telling people I have AT&T or one of those other off-label fucking brands.
Sprint.
We are not gonna settle for a subpar service.
Oh, like,
you cake wine blender drinking motherfucker.
You cake. Ooh, our cake today.
Why is there no cake?
That, oh my god, because we ate it.
You bitches can't get it to go?
We had, and I will Google it later to find out.
I was supposed to bring cake. I would have
what movie
it.
That I saw this in, but we had opera cake today.
And you had what cake?
Opera cake. And as advertised.
Soprano? Or alto?
I think we were eating an alto. It felt was, oh my god. Alto. Oh.
Maybe a nice tenor? Was it a tenor?
My basement was almost as moist as that cake.
Wow.
There was,
once I
we,
into
there
it.
Was some
and then
and
Alto
eyeing
a
paper towels right over there.
From the said cake and dipped it and swirled it into his coffee.
What?
The one in the real cup.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that was the reason I turned into a bougie bitch.
Not
because I wanted
coffee.
To dip the chocolate shell from the opera cake into the coffee because it was fucking delicious. Google opera cake and then dream about that. We can all go get one at the French grocery. So delicious. We have got the French grocery. Is just
oh,
my favorite
I do
thing.
Love those.
Man, it's merely, it's like a mile from here.
Fucking
not even.
Amazing. Not even.
Not even.
Seriously. And this seems to be a Tuesday thing. Why don't we just do team building there?
I think a pre-show French
like...
grocery would be delightful.
I am running around here trying to make sure magic happens. I don't have time to come
well, the
meet
magic kind of dies no matter what you do, so you might as well have a little fun.
Oh, no.
I was just going to leave the lights on at some point.
Oh, no. I have a preemptive strike against bad lighting in the bathroom now, so we're not going to do that. And part of my week was spent doing things and adding equipment here so that things don't happen like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we get a generator?
Yeah, we'll just get one of those semi-generator trucks parked out front.
No, the generator was alleviated by taking 8 75-watt bulbs in my bathroom, putting in one CFL that takes 3 watts.
So if you need surgery, you're going to have to bring a flashlight into the bathroom.
Time out. You couldn't go to lunch today because you were going,
No, I did that very late in the afternoon because I had customer things to do earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would love to come to team building 2 weeks from today.
It's a deal.
If it's a day that I'm working, then you have to change your day from...
Have to
yes.
or would like to?
What do you mean? Change what day? It's always a Tuesday.
I don't have to.
If it's a day that I'm working and I can't join in on the team
Although we have to go to your place.
You have to come to my restaurant instead of my bar.
I see.
I'm not sure if I can handle that kind of hardship. Oh, my goodness.
I feel like...
And we could even light rail directly from that to here.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Called a bar crawl, girls.
And there's plenty of lesbianish beers that we serve there, so we're,
all right.
we're good.
I thought you were going to say there were plenty of lesbians, and I was going to be like,
no, I did. I served several last night.
I'm out. And for our Los Angeles.
But they were only there because of the basketball game. I was like, it's not
Mercury season.
I know, that's what I said.
Well, they have to.
They had their Lakers jerseys on.
You'll be Lebanese strong come whenever that starts.
Please text Katie June for exact times and dates.
May. I want to say May.
Yeah, I do.
It's a month.
I went to 2 games this summer.
I know they play in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to 2 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I did. Like,
I enjoyed it.
Sure.
Did you go under duress or did you really intend to go?
Well, I had nothing else to do. And when you,
like our listeners.
When you have friends that are on the dance.
We have these
team
captive
that give
people
you free tickets.
Audience.
Then,
go.
Okay, I go.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, the dancer people are nice.
I like all the dancers.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I mean, I call the one as a good friend, and he. It's a running joke between us. I call him cheerleader because I think that he's a cheerleader. But he's not.
Kind
he's
of.
He's a hip-hop dancer.
Sure.
But, you know, it's still much more fun to
or
say,
as I like
hey,
to call
lesbian
them,
nun.
Hippity-hop dancers.
Yes, yeah, hippity-hop.
Tomato, tomato, lesbian nun. Same fucking thing. Hip-hop dancer, cheerleader. So, for our friends in Los Angeles, I really want to know if I think it's Bodega Louie. It's on Main Street in Los Angeles. I want to know if they make opera cake, because I will be driving, flying, walking, riding my bike to the area to have those people make me opera cake. Because I love me some of that restaurant and their
right,
dessert
well,
section.
The French break at the Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
Bottega Louie is on the corner of Grand Avenue and 7th Street.
Grand Avenue and 7th Street. Restaurant suggestion for Los Angeles. What Grand Main? Same fucking idea. Again,
tomato.
You know what I mean. Sweet baby Jesus. One of the best restaurants in the entire fucking world. and the front is really just a bakery of desserts.
Oh.
And it looks like art. It just looks, it's just presented in the most beautiful cases.
What are you doing right now?
Yeah, exactly. I will go, we'll do a tour of all the places, things I like to eat and look at.
Wow, gonna be busy.
Gonna be busy.
Gonna be busy.
And you?
Did a couple, you know, it's always work related stuff here and there, but I went to Tucson on Sunday. Michael and I drove down to, I DJ'd a pageant down there. And the nice thing is when you get booked for something and you, and not only, you know, they bring in a new sound system, it's all brand new, it's all that, you don't have to worry about is it going to work, is it not. The crew stays and the crew runs the sound and lights, and I don't have to do any of that shit. I literally had a show sheet, a stack of CDs, and pushed play. And I was on board for that.
Yeah.
I was having the crew stick around.
DJ push play is the best.
Yeah, that is a nice
best
thing.
Best gig ever. Yeah.
So I suffered through all of that. And no matter where you are in the world, if you've never been to a drag pageant. Now, granted, they ran in the same time period. It was, they said we were going to start at 7 and end at 11. We started at 7:30, 11:30. So they managed to
That's a bet for
to stay on time, sure.
For 8 contestants and all of the fucking entertainment that went between it. Because we really rapid-fired those bitches out of
there. And this was in Tucson?
Yeah.
So then you're in gay Mexican time. So that's really amazeballs.
So they were like an hour early, really.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, because I kept joking.
But I feel that there's more gay Mexican drag time here in Phoenix than there is in Tucson.
I was just being condescending.
Oh, no, yes, I understand.
I was just casting.
He was being bougie.
Bougie bitch lives in Phoenix. Tucson's brown.
White drag queens. Here in Phoenix, it's all, I mean, you know, I like me some brown.
Racist.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did that, and my gosh, for those of you who don't realize, it ever rains in the Arizona desert. My
Solid
God,
fucking does
it has been raining like a crazy all the way there and back on Sunday, and then of course it migrated up here and rained a Sunday night in Phoenix. But it was a fun time. It was interesting to see people from out of town, and I got to see who I had already worked with previously. From those of you who ever follow RuPaul's Drag Race, Yara Sophia was there. Alexis Mateo was there from season 3, I think, is what those two were from. And then the newly crowned Miss Gay America was there. I saw her. So got to see a whole bunch of people that, you know, I've only seen on the YouTubes.
Oh,
well, and I really don't give a shit about. It's just, oh, okay, you're there. I'm pushing play for you. Who gives a shit? That's about it. But anyway, so did that. And
bougie bitch.
Yep.
And then just
in, I ain't got time for you.
I don't know who you are, but here's your song.
And then other than
I have a network on YouTube, not just a show.
Yeah, right. We got a whole network dedicated to Al.
and what better use of your time is there?
Yeah, raspberries. Oh, and then for those of you wondering, nobody really was.
I was.
We have a new graphics card that you can actually see. Look at this. You can see it through the window of the thing.
That's super exciting.
Oh, but that is what's making all things held together right now. It's a brand new.
Well, we know who to blame when it all goes wrong.
Get very far?
I will tell you. Oh, yeah, all the way. Got to the.
Ooh. Tell me more. Tell me
I
more.
I went to the levee, and the levee was.
Did she put up a fight? Yeah.
Did she really? Another musical that I can't stand.
Every time.
Okay, I think it's time to move on to. God, 47 minutes into
headlines!
The show. No, we'll get there. All right, kids, we're coming back with another segment that you can suffer through. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Q-Talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break. Is the Q-Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, kids, here we go. Headlines and other stuff coming at you right now. It's a Tuesday night. It's Q-Talk America, and you are in Studio C. Hey, what's that on your head?
A naked Oregon burglar crawls in bed and discovers man has gun.
A car in the lake is worth a dead guy inside.
Omaha woman finds a dangerous pussy.
And I'm suing you in Allentown.
Escaped zebras run amok.
Give that man a biscuit.
couple dies hot tubbing during daughter's wedding.
And the Christmas lists are getting posted from kids. We've got a funny one to read coming up right now. Oh, it's always a stirring. I missed you didn't do the end like you always do, Kat. You always do that stirring little... Oh, I missed that. Oh, well.
I wasn't listening.
You clearly.
Can't tell.
Clearly
she was being bougie and it was beneath her.
Bougie bitch.
Bougie bitch.
At that moment, I was writing hashtag poop.
We know what we poop? Have to look forward to, I guess, coming up, don't we?
Wow. Well, God, her poop journal makes a sudden resurfacing.
Yes. Well, I'm sure that you've probably already heard about this because it's been all over the news, and I have a photo to go with it. The Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles is allowing a Pustafarian woman to wear her colander in her driver's license picture. And for those of you who have any idea...
Oh, I've heard of these people
...of what
before.
I'm talking about, here is her picture. She's got her license and her and her colander.
She looking like a Pustafarian.
She looks like what's her butt from The Office.
This comes after the American
Phyllis.
Humanist Association's Apignani Humanist Legal Center's attorneys were enlisted to assist with the woman's appeal after she was denied the right to wear it in her license photo by the RMV. Lindsay Miller says that she's a Pustafarian, also known as a member of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Which is a secular religion that believes the existence of a spaghetti monster to be just as possible as the existence of God. Oh, maybe I should get in on these people.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we agree with everything she stands for.
So she filed an administrative appeal, and she was scheduled to attend an appeal in October about the matter, but it was postponed, and the RMV has decided to back down and let her wear the spaghetti strainer in her video. Miller said that as a member of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, I feel delighted that my Pustafarianism has been respected by the Massachusetts RMV. Oh, my God.
God bless
Massachusetts. We fight for a lot of good things in this world, but that's a Pustafarian.
I was with her till she met that milliner, and then I thought, no. You're going to need to put a ribbon on that, or... What is it called? A fascinator?
My chapeau, it has to go.
You're going to have to find a bigger locker for that hat.
You know, I have just
the point.
Just the pasta for your hat.
Atta girl.
Oh, next story. Who is it? One of you two. Who's got one?
Okay,
I got nothing.
So this was not in my headlines because I was cut off rudely. I guess that I have to do it in the 30 seconds or something.
Yes, we have. We do.
I love this story. So a UK woman convicted of pretending to be a man to have sex with a female. A British woman was convicted of sexual assault
Tell me
Tuesday.
More, tell me more. Tell me more. Does she have a
Does
car?
She have a strap on? A British woman was convicted of sexual assault Tuesday after conning a woman into sex multiple times while pretending to be a man. Even using a prosthetic penis and blindfold to maintain the ruse, prosecutors say.
I love a ruse.
A ruse. Gail Newland began a two-year online romance with a victim through her fake Facebook profile, used the name Kai Fortune, and a photo of an Asian American man to lure women, according to local reports.
What?
Now, just I mean,
first
think
of
what size was the strap on, right?
Right.
Lowered expectations.
Two things.
We haven't pissed off the Asians yet at 7:52.
You know, this is late. Goodbye, Asians.
Goodbye, all of you.
well, just wait. Anytime you think we're not going to go there, somehow we do.
Somehow
we're bougie that way.
Uh-huh.
Is that all? Is there more to the story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Tell me more. Tell me more.
She said she had one thing, and then I had the one thing.
No, well,
the one thing was like this.
Carry on.
You better have two if you're going to be Asian.
All right. I know. So, fake profile, 2 years. The pair later spent about 100 hours together in person and had sex 10 times between February and June of 2013.
Wow.
10 times?
The victim wore a blindfold the entire time, The Guardian reported. Like the entire time, like the 4 months or only when it was time to get down and dirty. I have questions. Newland of Cheshire asked the victim to keep her eyes covered whenever they were together. The complainant said she pretended Kai Fortune was self-conscious about his supposedly fading muscle tone while undergoing treatment for a brain tumor after a car accident.
Oh, my God. Pulled the cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
The victim, described by prosecutors as very gullible and naive. Really? Said she finally realized Kai Fortune was not the man she thought he was when she ripped off her blindfold during intercourse. She found Newland with a hat and a prosthetic penis, and her breasts were wrapped in bandages under a bathing suit.
Like you do.
Every time I met up with Kai, I either had the mask on already or he would wait outside the door and I would put it on, the victim said in court last week. It's pathetic. So desperate for love. So desperate.
Well, you were pretty desperate too, bitch.
Yeah. The victim said she is straight and consented only to have sex with a man, not a woman. Neverland and the victim spent hours talking over the phone as Newland said her voice was just naturally high-pitched, prosecutor said. Newland sent a ring to the woman who even called her her fiancé. I mean,
wow,
she got catfished into marriage. She had sex 10 times with a blindfold on with someone she never saw because they were wearing a bathing suit with their bathing. I mean,
she ran into my strap-on
10 times! Oh. I'll allow it.
That was... Wow, that's a crazy story.
I thought someone would have that because that one popped up today, and I'm like, "Oh, that's too good to miss."
No, I haven't.
I'm pretty sure it just stays up. Like that's it doesn't really pop up. You just put it on. It's up.
It stays up.
It's the iPod exhales that they got to let go of one story.
Let it go. All right, I just posted the link in the chat room for this next story of mine. Let me get right to the right thing. Got it. Well, Byron Center, Michigan is where we're going. A car found submerged in the Byron Center pond with a body inside has now been linked to a Wyoming man who's been missing for
21 years.
9 years.
I was so close.
2006 is when he went missing. The Chevy Corsica's registration comes back to a 67-year-old man, and the man's identification was found inside the car along with his probably pretty badly composed body. In the Kent County Sheriff's Office, spokesperson Ron Gates said, I do have a picture of... Now, here's an interesting thing.
Like, the decomposed body?
No. So, there's a picture of the pond, an aerial shot. Actually, the shot is from Google Maps.
Now, so, you've been able to see this car for the whole 67 years.
I saw this headline.
But wait,
I'm excited.
Workers installing Christmas lights on a pine tree near, which I'm assuming are the pine trees that you see to the right of the pond...
Can we put that picture up behind Kate?
Well, you know,
Katie?
Kate, what's your name?
Wow, I had a tough time with deciding who you were.
I can't.
I don't know.
More wine, please.
It'll take me a second to get that behind her. Workers installing Christmas lights on a pine tree for nearby Cook Funeral and Cremation Services in the 2000 block of 84th Street noticed that the the roof of what they thought might be a car. They had been using a cherry picker to reach the top of the trees, and they were looking down. A Kent County Sheriff's deputy was then dispatched and verified the finding was indeed the car. The car appeared to have been in the pond for quite some time. No shit. So authorities determined that there was no immediate danger, Gates said. A dive team came out late Tuesday morning, and the car was pulled out. With the help of a wrecker, a man's body was found inside in the driver's seat with his hands still at 10 and 2.
Because he was conscientious now, if you, the very last.
And it also says a Google map image appears to show an object in the pond in the same northeast side location where the car was actually removed from the pond.
So, I mean, one halfway observant helicopter pilot could have solved this crime.
Right.
About 1979.
He's too busy looking at the traffic.
Was it a crime or was it just a drunk old man that drove off into a pond?
It sounds like the plot to Fried Green Tomatoes.
Could have been anybody at this table.
Kent County Sheriff's deputy said the Wyoming man was with medical issues, was reported missing in 2006, and family members have stayed in touch with the police in hopes of determining what had happened. He had been staying at a motel off in the city locally, and there's no
the 400 block.
But if you look, see where in the picture to the right is a parking lot. So it looks like he drove straight from the parking lot right into the goddamn pond. He was.
I think he made a left at that bush.
You never know.
Yeah, should have turned right at Albuquerque.
I mean, my grandmother, before she passed away, she drove into the post office because she forgot which pedal did what. So maybe he was parking and then just hit go instead of stop and ran right into the pond.
Could have. There's so many possibilities.
So many ways that could have ended.
Possibilities.
Pastafarians.
Yes.
All right. So a Florida woman arrested after drunk dialing 911 demanding chicken wings and cigarettes. I like a woman who prioritizes. It wasn't exactly an emergency situation. A Florida woman was arrested after drunk dialing 911 to demand a delivery of chicken wings and cigarettes. Leanne Watson of Claremont, the 800 block of 42nd Street, called cops at 8 p.m. Wednesday and told the deputy she was unable to drive. She then asked for somebody to bring her the snacks and smokes. The 45-year-old insisted the call was a sarcastic joke when she was in jail.
A little late for that.
But
honey.
Authorities failed to see the funny side.
She sobered up a little bit and was like, just kidding.
Misusing the 911 system. The deputy reported that Watson asked him if he had a cigarette or if he could take her somewhere to get some, switching between hysterical laughter and crying.
Do you have any pall malls?
I'm not sure which one of those was cured by which request.
First of all, act like you've never been there.
Yeah, no, exactly. Sobbing at 911 while laughing hysterically. Well,
not for just cigarettes.
Crying
for
on the floor right, of your right. living room.
But
just
a smoke
dying
of
for
some
a Jack
sort.
In the Box. Right.
Drunk and sad.
As Watson
hungry.
Was taken to the Lake County Jokes. Jail, she repeatedly headbutted the partition in the squad car and kicked about wildly. Wild wings. After the deputy warned Watson four times to stop, she was put into a four-point restraint to prevent herself from harming herself.
Mm-hmm.
Prevent her.
That's very thoughtful.
The reports that Watson was screaming and cursing loudly during the entire trip. There is no mention of a lawyer or if she arrived safely at the station.
Actually, I think that's where they hog tie you. I think that's where they tie your hands to your ankles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll pay good money for that.
Now, oddly, hog tie.
20s on the dresser, chalk.
Somebody's new username is 4-point restraint.
I think that hog tying is related to that story we heard earlier from the guy, the woman getting... blindfold and having
yeah.
sex.
Can I hog tie you? My no. voice is naturally high.
We have a limit, and that's it.
That could legitimately happen to you.
Yeah. And if you don't know your safety word,
pineapple.
And I do have bosoms. Mine's Philadelphia. It's ready.
You said bosoms and mine's Philadelphia. I wasn't sure what we were
saying. Safe word.
That.
Safe word.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Cream cheese.
Mine's always pineapple. Yours is Philadelphia.
Family meeting. Have is right. another good one.
Mike, stop! Just
you know, I always feel like that one doesn't really convey what
yeah,
I'm
you're
trying to
say. Stop it! Stop it!
Oh,
now.
Stop! No, stop! 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 Don't stop! But yes, stop! No, stop!
All
pineapple!
Yeah,
very different, very clear.
Oh my!
Family
God.
Meeting. We need to talk about where your finger is. Family meeting.
Wow. Two in the.
Too much.
All right, kids.
Perfect amount.
Already one hour is done. We have two more to go. We're going to continue with headlines and other stuff. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Phone a friend and make them suffer through this with you, won't you?
Oh my God.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hi again, everybody. It is just after 8 o'clock here in Central Phoenix. We're coming to you live from Studio C, as we do each week at this time. It's The Show. Thank you for joining us. Everybody in the chat room, we have Harrison. Hi, Harrison. I didn't realize you were there. Also, Nero Marnie is listening from afar. Joe DeGanzik is in there. Aaron from L.A. Anant. Have I missed anybody? I'm just looking at the screen right
Brand
now.
Brand was in there.
Oh, Brand was in there. Got it. So many people listening and watching. Thank you all for doing that. It is the lovely time of the show where we have to take care of a little business. The beginning of hour two, it goes something like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you.
Hey, that's what's wrong. There's the scratching of my head.
Yes.
I was like, wasn't I just scratching my head?
That overhead shot's about a second and a half delay.
That is too funny. Well, the drinking word, of course, is bougie bitch.
Oh, you're just,
it's going to be the both words together?
I like bougie bitch because you got to be a little pain
I feel like there's a little bit of like creative license.
Yeah, bougie's fine. So, and then we have to thank my friend, our friend Gina for in the middle of the Paris, everyone posting things for Paris and stuff. She's like, I am so tired of these bougie bitches posting pictures of their last Paris vacation to show that they were in Paris once. Huh?
So is this correct? A bougie bitch, is that how you would?
Yeah.
That works?
Yeah, for okay. The bourgeois. It just kind of...
I don't know how you would really spell that.
It just struck me as kind of funny. Because it's just one of those phrases that doesn't come up that often, but I thought that's a perfect way to use it. And then we, of course, were bougie bitches today in the French grocery.
Well,
it happens.
And delicious sandwiches, by the way.
Apparently an opera cake.
But first it was...
Oh, we ate and we ate.
We were bougie bitches. We had a petit chablis. We split a po' boy, and we called him a little pig like three times because it was the
petit
other sandwich.
Chou?
Petit cochon.
Oh, that's right. And, chew is cabbage. Petit chou is.
Yeah, she's not a little cabbage.
Right.
Pet name for children. I can't remember the word for mushroom, but that's what Renee used to always call George Maselli. He used to call him the little mushroom. Petit marchand. Petit couchon. Petit couchon is how you say little mushroom, I think. And Renee
champignon.
Always called
champignon.
Petit champignon. Oh, yeah. Really?
I just fucking Googled it. What do you want from me?
It's been 20 years since I took my last French
class. Yeah, I can't remember. So. But anyways, it was really funny.
Google.
You called him the little mushroom. So po' boy, so we had the little pig, which was this pork sandwich with melted cheese on a fresh baguette.
That's lovely.
And then mine was just shrimp in this wonderful Creole sauce.
Oh!
Yeah.
And it was nothing but shrimp and sauce and bread. Delish bougie bitches.
And then we had the opera cake.
And then we had opera cake and Napoleon.
Yeah.
Or mi foie.
No, I didn't fuck a little French man.
What?
I didn't even know that was available. I'm trying to work out the courage.
Is their menu?
Is that on the menu?
Yeah.
Well, the grinder wasn't very active in that part of town during that part of day. So
yeah, but I'm trying to work up the courage.
Is there also
the
like a tall, skinny, bougie bitch on that menu? Because I'm in.
Yeah, with floppy hair. I love him.
I was like, Al, is he Gage? Al goes, look at the way he flips his hair. I go, oh, well, it is Willow.
Yeah. I mean, he was seriously doing the...
She was whipping her hair back
I need to
and
add
forth.
That to the list for why my oldest is gay, because he's doing the...
The Bieber.
Yeah. Oh,
the oldest. The oldest.
The oldest is the homo, for sure.
Bougie.
I had that called from the second day I met him. I was like, honey, he's gay.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, honey.
Honey.
There's that.
She's like, no, really? I'm like, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Honey. I barely care about Will. Can you imagine how I feel about his brother?
God damn. Karen Walker. Love her.
Good life goal.
I'm going to start Googling everything in French.
Continuing on with our headline segment, a New York man who spent 29 days in jail after Pennsylvania State Police mistook homemade soap for cocaine, filed the lawsuit. The Allentown Morning Call reports that Alexander Bernstein, maybe a Jew, said, and may have really good legal representation, says that he had...
Wow, that was a double idea. Yeah.
Say goodbye to the chosen people. Yeah. They're gone.
Alexander Bernstein says that he has to pay thousands of dollars in court costs and missed Thanksgiving with his toddler son before the charges were dropped. He's seeking damages exceeding $150,000. State troopers and the field test manufacturer are named in the suit filed this past week. Bernstein was a passenger in a Mercedes-Benz. Always the irony, Jews, mm-hmm. German car. Police pulled over for speeding near Allentown, Pennsylvania, back in November of 13. Now, troopers did smell marijuana, searched the car, and found packages. The driver said was homemade soap, but they tested it as cocaine. Lab tests later then showed it was actually
homemade soap.
Yeah.
Yes.
The driver was charged with marijuana possession and speeding. When reached out for a statement, the state police declined to comment.
So did he have coke? He had no cocaine. That was soap.
No,
did he really have pot, or did the soap just smell like pot?
It says that he was charged with... It doesn't say anything in the story about if they actually found it.
Bougie
he was charged
bitch
with
won't even do coke.
Marijuana possession and speeding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Votre chienne de bougie.
What was that?
It means you're a bougie bitch.
Oh! Do it again.
Do it again.
Votre chienne de bougie.
Oh, that's
votre
fun.
Votre chienne de bougie.
Oh. Oh. Let me see it. Oh. I want to see it.
That's fun, Jace.
Well, I don't know if it's correct.
No, it
if
is.
There's any of us French speakers out there.
Would, right?
Sort of.
That was fun.
I'm going
to
make coffee.
All I did was say you're a bougie bitch and hit translate to French.
I know, but the many spellings of your make a difference.
You, your.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so a Canadian couple dies while having sex.
Vous êtes une chienne de bougie.
Yeah, that's you are a bougie bitch. The okay. other one was like your bitch is bougie.
Oh. Well, still. Oh. Yeah. Okay, so
that's
make it
still
say it again.
The many spellings of your.
Oh.
Oh.
Vous êtes une chienne de bougie.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Seriously, volume.
Oh, we've got
otra vez.
S'il vous plaît.
Vous êtes une chienne de bougie.
Très bien, très, yeah, très bien.
I just
need that last two words. Chienne de bougie. All right, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
But I do like on the translate app that I don't. Well, here, where's the camera? That it literally puts up. Like all the words.
That's so nice. Yeah.
So, you can be
bougie. So you can be on
like here. You're a bougie bitch.
Yeah,
bitch.
Vous êtes une chienne de bougie. I love it. Okay. So a night of passion ended in tragedy Tuesday when a Canadian couple died while having sex in a hotel hot tub during their daughter's destination wedding. Bougie bitch.
Destination wedding. You cunt.
Charles McKenzie suffered a heart attack and toppled over his wife Dorothy, drowning the 63-year-old as the two were making love in the Whirlpool Spa at a Mexico resort, the Canadian press reported. The happy couple was supposed to watch their 35-year-old daughter get married on the beach in 2 days. She made the terrible discovery early Tuesday. Their deaths were deemed accidental and were believed to be linked. Because he was still inside of her. Dorothy died of asphyxia by submersion moments after her husband passed, according to an official from the Mexican state of Quintana Roo. They had traveled from Nova Scotia to Playa del Carmen in Mexico to celebrate the big day. It's unclear if the wedding still went on Thursday. The family was too devastated to think that far ahead after the tragedy. Charles McKenzie's brother-in-law, Douglas Hastings, told the newspaper. I read that wrong because I didn't read it. They didn't have quote marks where they should. I don't know why I find that story funny. But if you're going to go and you live in Nova Scotia,
that's
it might as well be in
go.
A hot tub in a destination wedding.
In a girl.
Hopefully underneath. Yeah, inside a woman. Hopefully you like her.
Well, I mean, even if you don't.
Was
still
it
better than nothing.
Or anal?
You know, they did.
Why didn't they
je ne sais pas.
Okay.
C'est une catastrophe.
Well, Kel Supriest, I just died. Okay,
I
guess
Kel
I have to go
Supriest.
Again. And woman flips out over all-you-can-eat flapjack rule, police say.
What?
An argument over the meeting of all-you-can-eat has led to an assault charges for a woman in suburban Chicago.
I don't
police
blame
in
her.
Oak Lawn, Illinois, say 27-year-old Natasha West flipped out at Denny's restaurants after the waitress told her she couldn't share her $4 all-you-can-eat flapjacks with the other people at the table.
Don't fuck with my flapjacks, fellas.
Exactly. It's not my first time at the Denny's. Police said that West became irate and started swearing and swinging her fists at the server, according to NBC Chicago. None of the blows landed on the waitress, so there's that.
Well, sure.
But West and her party allegedly then left the restaurant without paying, only to stop to kick a door several times while on her way out.
Because if you're eating all-you-can-eat flapjacks...
You've got a lot of energy.
No, you're not moving too fast.
Yeah.
No. She might have had an early set of sugar beaties happening.
My sugar's like 630.
And by stopping to kick a few doors, you mean stopping to catch your breath as you run out to the door.
I can no longer feel my toes, and I might not make urine today.
In Denny's defense, they do have the little fine print that says...
There's that little asterisk, yeah.
It says, this is for individual... Like it's.
Well, I think we all understand.
You can't bring in the entire Mormon family and be like, we're all going to have the all-you-can-eat buffet but with one plate.
We ain't at your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. The restaurant manager called the police, who tracked West and her dinner crew in a car... They were taken back to Denny's, where restaurant employees positively identified them. One of West's friends paid for the food, but West was arrested and charged with assault and damage to property. She did not get a criminal mischief. So
I feel
like she
failed.
See,
what is she doing wrong?
Right. You don't get charged, you bougie bitch. If you can't make it into a criminal mischief charge.
I think that's
what are you doing wrong?
Misuse of bougie bitch, because that's
life.
Just dumb cunt.
Yeah.
She's hungry.
She aspires to be a bougie bitch.
Yeah, she wants to be, but you're arguing about a $5 all-you-can-eat pancakes.
Yeah.
Like, calm down. Mm.
It's now she's just plebeian. Yeah.
My coffee making took a lot longer than I thought.
I'll take you a little lower than bougie bitch into plebeian.
But I think my story that's going to follow yours is going to go hand in hand because it's a food.
About the biscuit?
Yes, oh. It's a food story. I didn't realize.
Does that come biscuit. With a biscuit?
Bring on the biscuit.
Said Sally Struthers while looking at a starving child.
Yes.
Kat, you're the wonder of the Googles over there. Mm. There was a song from the 80s that was called Buttermilk Biscuits.
Oh.
And it's phenomenal. I remember listening to it as a wee boy and thinking, this. I think it was by...
Is it Sir Mix-a-Lot's Buttermilk Biscuits?
It was Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Would you like a dramatic reenactment of the lyrics?
Provocative.
If we're going to... This is going to segue into biscuits.
Well, the lyrics read, "Now I'm your big mall dropper, mud duck stopper. Fila on the bottom and Adidas on the topper. Transform scratching, big beat matching. I can tell you're getting jealous by the look I'm catching."
Now, are we going to put this into some kind of translator? Because I haven't understood.
What's the name of it again?
Buttermilk Biscuits by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
What's a brown duck stopper? I feel like she's constipated. I feel like I'm lost in a metaphor I don't
want. It's a mud duck stopper, and it may be a reference to anal sex. I'm not sure.
Right, because that's where my mind went. Well, I'm not saying it went there
I'm
happily.
Just stopping that mud duck.
Duck, yeah. Keep that mud duck inside you, bitch.
Right.
Now, I don't know where you were with the lyrics. Is that from the top of the song?
Yeah, that's from the top.
From the top.
I'm not sure.
From the top. Would you like me to go from the hook?
But then it's
no, I just didn't know where I was going to link up because I was trying to find
out. Now, does the mud duck make an appearance in the bridge or the chorus?
I don't know.
No, I believe it's only in the first verse. It appears that the chorus simply reads buttermilk biscuits three times. Then, Lord have mercy, Mix-a-Lot's got me rapping about biscuits now. Yep. That's the chorus.
So that's clearly a cry for help from someone in the background.
He's got me rapping about biscuits now.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Turn it on.
But it sounds like
music.
A kid's song until he starts trying to stop the brown duck from coming out the bottom.
One day I kissed hit the street, looking for something to eat.
In
an 18-wheeler, looking real swass, all the girls smile because I'm the big boss.
That didn't even rhyme.
It was the 90s. It was a difficult time.
When did the song come out? Because I just remember being really young.
I tell people all the time, there was a good 80s and a bad 80s.
And a real bad 80s.
And then there was
the 90s.
Yeah.
Sir Mix-a-Lot was not 80 nothing.
No,
does that tell you a year, ma'am?
I'm going to Google that and find out.
Yeah, I feel like Big Butts is 90s. Yeah. Early. Before we found our way. Ash and Washed Jeans were still in
1988.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I felt like I could feel the acid wash seeping
coming
through.
Over you.
From the album Swass, which may be pronounced Swass, to rhyme with boss.
Boss, there we go. Yeah. Thank you. I felt like maybe you were bougie bitching that word up.
I was using the conventional rules of
pronunciation.
English, right.
Yeah, I do have to say that one of my funniest things that Tim ever did. We used to when I would go home for Christmas, New Year's, because New Year's was the big holiday in my family. Mm-hmm. So Tim and I and our friend Michelle would do our little party and a photo every year at New Year's Eve. And Tim announced quite loudly to the room after a couple drinks at 12:05 in the a.m. Eastern Standard Time that acid wash had no place in the 90s and we were to never wear it again. And I was like, I think I agree with that. I think maybe I've said all I can in acid
Judges,
wash. We're going to allow it?
Approved.
It was just one of the funniest things to have like a fashion pronouncement at one of these like New Year's Eve parties that we all stuck to. We were like, oh yeah, it's done.
Oh,
done.
Yeah, over.
That horse is
I could
dead.
Totally see that being a completely solemn moment, too. I can completely see.
It's all those there is.
Yeah. Huh. I could see you and Tim and whoever the fuck else you said just being like. And
if
so
we had
shopping.
A bell, we would have rang it. If that was a bell, I would have gone ding, dong, ding, dong, ding.
Whoa, that's a hobby.
I see. I'm just going to hit you with music. Look how excited she gets. Could be the Mountain Dew.
It could be the Mountain Dew.
All right, is it my turn? Was that story over?
No, it's mine.
Okay.
He's got to talk about the biscuits.
I got to follow up your pancake story with the biscuit story.
The best part was we shit on that for like 10 solid minutes.
I know, because it takes a lot longer to make the thing through the coffee through the thing rather than just brewing a whole pot, which I was convinced to not do, but I realized during show notes I must do.
My producers are telling me we should throw to the biscuit story.
Yeah.
Go.
When it comes to protesting a price hike, this guy didn't waffle.
Wah, wah.
Mitchell Feinberg, 39, was arrested.
Possibly a Jew.
Possibly. He may know the guy from Allentown.
Block.
Yeah. He was arrested Sunday morning after police said he shattered the front door of a Waffle House in Brookhaven, Georgia. The reason for his breakfast breaking? He was allegedly angry. The restaurant raised the price for a sausage and biscuit from $1 to $1.50, according to WSB-TV.
Hey, budgets.
A Waffle House waitress told police that when Feinberg saw the bill with the 50-cent price hike, he became belligerent because, quote, someone had only charged him $1 for it on previous occasions, according to the Atlanta Journal. Surveillance video reportedly shows the suspect get up from a corner booth, throw his bill on the floor, and kick the door on his way out.
Zoot alone!
No!
Sacre bleu! When the glass...
Notre Dame!
Hunchback! When the glass shattered, Feinberg fled the scene, only to be arrested outside a nearby apartment complex a short time later. Police said Feinberg told them, quote, I barely kicked the door when it shattered. He said that he only kicked it because he, quote, he did not want to open the greasy door with his hand. Well, how'd you get in there, dumbass?
Dumb, exactly. According to the police report.
Dumbass. He's a lady. Someone opened the door.
Feinberg was booked into DeKalb County Jail on charges of disorderly conduct, criminal trespass, criminal damage to property, and he remains in custody lieu of a $2,500 bond.
Any of you fuckers listening get arrested.
If he can't afford 50 cents for biscuits, then he can't afford $2,500.
I have a feeling meth was involved in this.
Bougie bitch thinking he's fancy. You can make that shit at home
for less. No, because he wouldn't want biscuits and gravy if he was all methed out.
The Brookhaven Police Department...
Gravy's heavy when you're methed out.
That's true.
The Brookhaven Police Department has decided to use this incident as a teachable moment on their Facebook page.
Oh. I appreciate that.
Bougie bitch.
It's like Grey's Anatomy, but for cops. It's a teaching
Chicago
precinct.
Blue.
Right.
Bleu.
I'm sure that France appreciates all our efforts to honor them.
Oh,
tonight.
We are. We're going to hashtag the fuck out of this on the YouTubes.
Oh, on the YouTubes.
Yes, on the interwebs.
Sacre bleu.
I feel like Pepe Le Pew.
He's French.
Yeah.
Smells a little.
Black and white.
Some of the red French too.
All right, I have a story from Marnie.
We've lost the French. Go ahead, Alfie.
Omaha woman bitten by tiger after breaking into zoos.
Oh.
Say the cops. I love it. Like I must. This is the U.S. News. Who is my source here? This is NBC that did this horrible punctuation. An intoxicated woman was bitten by a tiger after she broke into a zoo and tried to pet the animal, police said. Jacqueline Aide.
Jacqueline.
Reached into the predator's cage after she allegedly entered Henry's Doorly Zoo in Omaha, Nebraska, early Sunday, just hours after Halloween. I think they mean early November 1st.
Yeah.
I'm going with clues.
Post-Halloween.
There was no merciful repeat of Daniel in the Lion's Den, however. And Ida suffered a severe trauma to her left hand. She was driven to hospital by a friend, where police said Ede was aggressive and showed signs of intoxication by alcohol or drugs. Really? She was cited for criminal trespass and remained in the hospital for treatment Sunday, and probably to get that hand amputated. The tiger involved was said to be an 18-year-old Malayan tiger called Mai. According to the zoo, this incident is still under investigation. Not really a lot to investigate.
Not really. No.
Let's see. Mauled hand, hungry tiger. I think I just murder she wrote it the whole fucking story.
Very good, Jessica.
You're welcome, Omaha, Nebraska. Maybe if Barney Fife could take a day off and we can get somebody with some police
Bravo,
experience.
Bravo, Inspector Clouseau.
Got it. One bullet and we figured it out.
Okay, now the Omaha Police Department filled with Mensa victims released this statement.
Oh, a statement. Here we go.
Just in case you had any doubt, if you pet a tiger, you will most likely get bitten.
Ooh.
Kill surprise.
Sacre bleu.
Notre Dame. I mean, I just...
Renault. Still a car reference.
Bougie bitch. Just pet your cat at home. You know what I mean? Settle the fuck down.
She wanted some pussy real bad.
She did. Dangerous. Dangerous.
Peugeot in there. That's a car reference.
The movie.
Rent the movie. Tiger out. Boom.
Tiger out.
Ask those fags in Vegas about it.
Oh, those two queens. You ever want to see fruit drug off a stage?
No. How do you turn a fruit into a vegetable? Have a tiger drag stage, it off stage by a neck.
Every time I hear one of these stories, I'm reminded about what a miracle
about
it
Siegfried
is.
And Roy?
No. About what a miracle it is that I believe it's Meg Ryan is still with us. Wasn't she one of the ones that grew up with like
no,
tigers
Melanie
in her
No, Melanie Griffin.
Oh, Griffin. Melanie. Same song.
Yeah.
Same song.
Her
family that had like two lions that fucking
and they can't remember why they adopted them. Like, I never remember who her. It's because of like her dad or stepmother at the time.
Did it mean no worries?
Have you ever seen those pictures?
For yes. The rest of your days.
There was a video.
No, those
too.
Are crazy pictures because they like
fucking
lived with
crazy.
Them in the house.
There's a video too. I've seen it.
And they realize, like, they admit later, like, not really good for animals, and PETA really should have stepped in and kicked us a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Endangered Protective Services. And
yeah, exactly.
There's one
yeah.
where the lion is actually kind of gnawing on her foot a little bit, and they took the picture, like, isn't that cute? Help her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the time for a photograph. You mean the time for help her?
Yeah. She almost had to
you
stay
mean
in the box.
This one where she's like, trying to escape it to get into the pool.
Right, right. And that's the one that they took a picture instead of, help her!
Yeah. She's now getting eaten
bitch.
By your pet lion.
Again, get a fucking cat. I usually do not recommend that action.
Slightly smaller cat would be preferred.
We're lucky to have her.
Yes,
I a little even, less carnivorous.
Even Marty's a little too big.
Marty, fat bastard Marty. My cat.
Oh, wow. Did I think we were going somewhere different?
Wow.
Not Marty. Marty. Like,
no, I know what you said. The danger of homonyms.
I mean,
Marty, we're not equating you to my cat at all.
Oh man,
my cat's a male.
Oh man,
well that's not good, Chandler.
Well, in
next
this
caller.
Here, yeah, we'll throw this story to the old Marty and Aaron because they are dog lovers, and I'm sure that they
Her
will
name
be.
Name is Ernie. Rude.
They'll be on board with this one.
You know what? Funny aside, if you type in Ernie into your Facebook trying to send a message. Aaron does not come up.
No, at all.
But she answers to it when you talk to her directly now. Well trained.
Very much so.
M'lady.
A horny dog had to be freed by fire crews after she got her head stuck in a cat door while chasing down a potential mate. Kita, the dog's name, was looking out the window of her owner's home in Leicester, England. On Monday morning when she spotted a male dog in the garden. Or as we like to say, I spotted a male dog in the garden.
What a star band.
What a star band. The 5-year-old American...
It's not the Yardbirds. Oh,
accents,
dogs
accents.
Now.
Do it again.
The 5-year-old American bulldog who was in season...
Traveling internationally. Season,
decided to hook up with the other canine and raced for the tiny door designed for such smaller cats. Unless... Her head fit through the cat door and her body didn't. She became trapped, and I would like to show
Bougie
you the...
Bougie bitch just wanted to get it on outside.
I'd like to show you the picture of the dog.
Marvin Gaye. Play a little Marvin Gaye for this story.
Well, hang on. I got a lot going
or
on right now.
Charlie Puth.
Determined to free herself, Kita then ripped out the surrounding panel of the cat door, but the frame remained lodged around the dog's head. Refer to picture.
Oh.
The other dog, believed to be a smaller terrier, spotted the gap in the door... And took advantage of the moment and snuck inside the house, thereby giving the bulldog what she needed, if you know what I'm saying.
Hashtag statement necklace.
I love statement I do love a happy ending.
Well, apparently so did the terrier.
To other people.
Homeowner Nigel Page heard the commotion and walked into his kitchen to spot the pair of pups doing it.
Yep.
When he opened the door, the male dog then sprinted off. I'm sure... Maybe post-sprinting off himself. I don't know. Unable to remove the panel, Nigel Page called the Leicester Fire Service, and the firefighters showed up 20 minutes later and managed to get the plastic frame off the dog's head.
Using the jaws of life.
Yeah. Page, who adopted Kita from a rescue center after she was abused
from
as a puppy...
House.
Said that he was now waiting to see whether or not he would wind up having offspring from the little encounter. Anywho, it was a funny story. When I saw that picture of that dog with that frame around
I'm just thinking Bob Newhart might suggest you have that dog spayed or neutered. right?
Bob Barker.
Barker.
Not Newhart. Newhart. You said Newhart.
He's got an opinion, too. They're like assholes. Everybody's got one.
Vastly different people. One gives you a showcase, one gives you a stum or a stander and a funny story.
I say we're really slow. I don't really have time for a Newhart joke. Can we move along?
I love Newhart jokes.
I do too.
They're funny as hell to me.
Naked organ burglar crawls into bed with couple.
All right.
An organ man was arrested Thursday after he broke into a Portland home, stripped naked, crawled into bed with a couple who lived there, and kissed the man, who turned out to have a gun, police said. Oops. Richard Dean
DeFoitis
was held on $310,000 bail. That's kind of a random amount. Pending arraignment Friday on charges of first and second degree burglary, first degree sex abuse, and unlawful use of a weapon. Okay, what did he burgle? The kiss?
Nah. Stole a kiss from you.
I stole a kiss. First degree sex abuse. He kissed you, sir. Settle down. It's not like he put his neck through the doggy door to get to your bottom. Oh. You know what I mean? An incident report says DeFoitis broke into the home around 3:40 a.m. Thursday and began gathering items of value, but he then removed all of his clothes and climbed into bed with the unidentified man and woman who lived there and for some reason kissed the man. Well, maybe because he liked them.
Turns out...
Sounds like a Kevin story or Puss in the Hoot story.
Oh.
Because she's gone to houses in the past that were not hers.
Turns out burgling is the act of entering a home unlawfully with the intent to commit a crime.
Oh.
To commit a crime.
Oh.
The man woke up to find the burglar...
It's the breaking of the breaking and entering part.
Oh, it's the burgling.
Right.
The man woke up to find the burglar burgling. Sitting on top of him holding a knife, police said. When the man pulled a gun, the burglar hurriedly put on his pants and fled.
Not doily, he hurriedly.
Doily walked across the room, chased by the now fully awake man who fired three shots but missed, because he was kind of horny.
bang.
He was a little hard.
Oh. Arousal. Sacre bleu.
Notre Dame. He has an extensive arrest record in Oregon and California, was arrested in a vacant house nearby, and was treated at a hospital for possible drug-related symptoms.
What?
Or oral herpes. We don't know who this man is. He's left unidentified.
And yet again, another story that missed the criminal mischief charge.
No criminal mischief.
And that sounds like mischief.
No, that sounds like criminal mischief.
Criminal mischief, and we don't know if there was, what is it? No phone number? What is it?
No phone number listed. We are not sure at this time whether or not he's...
represented by legal counsel. Got it. My gosh, there's a lot going on. Well, is that the wrap-up of your story there?
As it turns out.
Of that story, yes.
Oh, there's more.
I told you, I'm overprepared.
But you may be. So just calm down, Mr.
While we're Googling criminal mischief so that we know in the future.
Oh, it's good.
I'm
glad you're here.
Listeners?
You're like our legal advisor.
Yes, but not.
Paralegal.
Unlike that bitch who got us to do the drinking disclaimer.
Slash fact checker.
That's good.
Fat checker. I'm like, this just gets uglier and uglier.
Happens.
Listen,
right here.
She's checking how fat this panel's getting.
It is.
I may or may not have been with an overweight girl or two. I feel like fat checker is a little much.
Family meeting. I don't like where you're checking.
Pineapple.
Oh. Continue on.
Criminal mischief is a noun and is defined as the purposeful or reckless damaging of another's property in a way that causes loss or endangerment, and then is prosecutable under law. So you got to break some shit for criminal mischief.
All right.
Well,
when you send me your letters from prison, because I'll be your pen pal.
He broke the guy's heart, so that counts, doesn't it? I'm sure he did.
The only way I'm coming up for a conjugal visit, male or female, is if he gets there's criminal mischief in there.
That's fair. No, you got to have standards.
10 dabbles in criminal mischief.
A girl's got to have standards.
Does smooth criminal factor into that at all?
If there's mischief involved.
Oh, smooth
but
criminal
mischief. Yeah, but not the
Annie,
Alien
Annie,
Ant Farm version.
Annie, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Are you okay, Annie?
Are you?
Annie, are you okay?
And the best part is when you go to get your BLS or CPLS, or what do they call that in the real world? Your CPR card, your BLS card.
Uh-huh.
You always have to, Annie, are you okay? But I've since changed it to, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? Annie, are you okay?
Raise your hand
and I always wait for someone in the class to, like, play along. Or just give me the dirty look of a bad pun, I accept both.
I just noticed the large bottle of vodka behind you. I don't know how I've missed that for the whole goddamn show so far.
No, I've snuck it in the last break.
90,
in the handy economy
minutes.
Size.
90 minutes in and I
just... Family meeting, I figured I didn't need to go first. All the way to the kitchen to refill my cocktail.
No, God no.
No, just bring it with me.
In fact, the moving...
Downright inconvenient.
The moving from that studio to this really does... affect the drinking of the show. Because
I almost
you have
need
to walk
a Fitbit to make it across there, yeah, just to prove I did it.
You know what? I've said stop using mine, so you can borrow.
Maybe I will install one of those walking side those you know
people movers,
people mover sidewalks.
You
like
know,
they have
all
airports.
Of the guys I know that use those Fitbits, they're
fat.
Well, they're not getting accurate readings because they masturbate too much. So there needs to be an offsetting for those to where you're jerking the fuck off.
It's called
you're
take it off.
You're not sitting there going with this with your hand, and wow. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you ran 10 miles real fast.
Two
no,
things.
No.
Kind of.
No. No, you just yeah. watched a lot of X-Tube.
If I ever put the same effort into sex as it would take to run 10 miles, boy, there'd be happier people in my past.
Well.
In your, but not your future.
No. No. Because now that's not even a possibility.
This train is not leaving the station.
You'd be drowned in the hot tub underneath a fat girl.
I was hoping for two things.
I've abandoned them.
Oh, really? Yeah. Quickly, you've abandoned them. All right.
Why have you abandoned them? Why have you given up
Mostly because they were needy.
They were needy.
Needy. Yeah. Needy bitches.
Needed too much
room. I see.
I'm out.
Continuing on, well, it's coming out coming up on the holiday season, but at least one person wants you to know that he can do without holly, tinsel, and poinsettias, assuming those are all names of professional sex workers.
I think holly and tinsel for sure. What was the middle one?
Poinsettia.
Oh,
tinsel.
Yes.
Holly, tinsel, and poinsettia.
Yeah, oh, I was in on holly and tinsel. It was poinsettia might work in different neighborhoods.
In his Christmas letter to Santa, a little boy named...
Especially if they have one in their hair. Yeah.
A little boy named Rory Smith wanted to tell the man at the North Pole that he'd like a video game. Grand Theft Auto 5 is what he was wanting.
But this time it's personal.
He made his intentions Electric extremely Boogaloo. Clear when he explained in his list what he was looking for. So let me read some of the things on his Christmas list, and you let me know when you think he's making the specificity on the video game. He wants it's a little boy, so normal things like he wants a toy gun. I get that. That's what kids want.
You'll shoot your eye out.
He wants, I don't know what this is. He wants a cardboard Landis or wood. I don't know what the hell that even means.
I think he wants a hard on for the first time.
He wants a Lego Dimension Back to the Future set. I get that. A pack of Doctor's First on the 11th. What the fuck is that?
He wants his first period.
Okay, there's
that. Wait, say that again.
He wants to know when he's going to start bleeding down there.
He also wants...
Because he wants to shove a tampon up his
He wants the Lego Doctor Who console set. He also wants a different remote-controlled Lego train. Apparently, he's got a Lego train already.
But he wants a different one.
He wants a different one. And I guess Santa already knows what you got. So just telling him different one. Don't have
to
specify.
Is it too early to ask for a girl on this list? Because I feel like we're dealing with super nerd.
Hang on. We're not done.
Oh.
I want a blue suit with a red lapel.
Yep.
Maybe gay. Maybe we don't need the girl on the list.
Maybe a boy.
Or a Republican.
Oh, and a hot gay nerd is the way to go when he's at the Comic-Con.
He wants a new Fez.
Gay.
Soups.
Dispenser?
Here's where we get...
That's Pez.
He wants...
My apologies to the people of Fez.
He wants a new Fez, so the restaurant needs to move again.
I feel like that'd be bad for
you. Here's where the kicker is. I also would like Grand Theft Auto 5. I just want to play with the cars. We don't need the hookers.
Oh my god, I read that headline and didn't know what it meant.
The highly controversial game features the use of violence and gameplay elements that involve graphic depictions of prostitution. Last year, the BBC News reported that retailers Target and Kmart stopped selling the game in its Australian stores due to the customer complaints about its portrayal of violence towards women.
But Americans are fine with that.
So on board.
So the child...
Because in the game, I played the game with Shane, and you go into strip clubs and you buy hookers and...
Totally.
You can slap them around and stuff, yeah.
Jesus
Is that
Christ.
The most recent one? Because I'm pretty sure I finished that game.
Oh, I read...
The helicopter levels are fucking hard,
Bougie
though.
Bougie bitch
the
needs a new...
The helicopter shit is hard.
Flying the plane one.
I read
Oh,
the,
yeah, totally five. Read, yeah, the flying shit yeah. is hard.
I read the handwritten list wrong. The little fellow also requested a blue suit with a red tie. Apparently, he's going to be a president.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, because the red lapels, like I was Google image searching all of it.
No,
first
red
of all,
tie.
Google image search Grand Theft Auto 5, no hookers, and that's a real treat. And second of all, there were no red lapels on any of the blue suits. I was very disappointed.
But it was so cute.
Please speak with your haberdasher. What's that word?
Yeah, I'm not even sure where you're going with that. I could make some.
But
shit
when
up
you read through the list, this.
One makes hats, one makes clothes.
I just want to play with the cars, not the hookers. That was funny. And it was parenthetically not the hookers.
Parenthetically.
How old was this youngster?
I don't know that the story says.
But I can't wait till he meets his first hot gay nerd and they play a little Marvin Gaye.
He's a bougie bitch because all he wants is the cars.
Yeah.
It doesn't
not
say.
Not the STD.
Sound familiar?
Not the STD. You can keep it in your pants, Santa.
Yep.
Just need the car.
I just want the fucking car.
It does not say Santa in the story baby. How old the kid is. It doesn't.
An outer space convertible.
I know. It's
to
just like me. I wanted
blue.
Toys and cars. And no pussy.
What Marvin Gaye song were you thinking fit this? Sexual healing?
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Yeah.
But I really do enjoy the Charlie Puth one. It gets me moist.
Which one?
Let's Marvin Gaye and Get It On.
Yeah. Let's Marvin Gaye and Get It On. That song. Oh, that's lovely.
That's nice.
There's just, I mean, this song just makes you want to get drunk and do it.
Just the cars, not the hookers.
Don't want the itch down there, Grandpa. Just want to put my thing in gear.
Uh-huh.
But I like that they wished for wood.
Yeah, wood or cardboard.
Yeah. And if it can happen while I'm looking at a girl, my mom will be real happy, Santa.
There's that. Oh.
Get it on.
Oh, we're going to have a little all right. You have one more story, sir, and then we're going to move on to your entertainment.
I do. So we'll
segue.
We'll stop talking about dead couples, and we'll go right to, the Marvin Gaye of politics, Ben Carson. Some advice.
That's exhausting.
That was an excellent segue.
That was good.
I appreciate
it. It's a black guy.
He sleeps and he looks exhausting, and it makes me exhausted.
Yeah, I feel like we could all use some coffee.
Oh, I've got some.
I can tell. Some advisors to Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson say he is struggling to grasp the complexities of foreign policy.
Yes.
What?
His closest confidant.
And accurate
Tuesday.
Stories.
Quelle surprise.
Quelle surprise.
Notre Dame. I can't even hear about it. Their frustration. Court acknowledging their frustration while adding the political newcomer is making progress.
Newcomer?
Oh, that's great.
Champs-Élysées.
Yeah.
That's a lovely Arc cocktail.
De Triomphe. I'd say he's 75% of the way there, said Armstrong Williams, Carson's longtime business manager. The world is a complex place, and he wants to get it right. Well, it's good. Realistic, achievable goals. Maybe not this one, but maybe open your eyes while talking. We'll start with that.
Right. Wake the fuck up.
A story published Tuesday by the New York Times quoted one of Carson's advisors as saying the retired neurosurgeon, who is making his first public run for office, is having trouble
understanding... Did he make some private runs?
Yeah, exactly. I read that wrong. Who's making his first run for public office is having trouble understanding foreign policy.
I'm running for president, but nobody
briefings.
Knows it.
Yeah.
I only did it because people told me I should.
Yeah, because as soon as they got the grain out of the pyramids, they thought, well, now what do we do?
Now what are we going to put in there?
We got all these dead bodies. Put them in the empty grain silo.
But only like three of them.
There. Why not?
Only like three of them. Wow.
Nobody's been able to sit down with him and have him get one iota of intelligent information about the Middle East. A former CIA. Oh, my God. I didn't read the story in advance.
Start back again. Carefully.
A former member of the CIA told the newspaper, nobody's been able to sit down with him and have one iota of intelligent conversation about the Middle East.
Wow.
He also added that Carson needs weekly conference calls to brief him on foreign policy so we can make him smart. Sarah Palin is just rising in the polls as we talk.
You can lead a horse to water.
The Carson campaign reacted swiftly to the Times story, casting Claridge in a statement as an elderly gentleman who isn't part of Carson's inner circle because he read a book, so he was instantly out.
You're out.
Yes. A book on history and the building of the pyramids.
Mr. Carson, we open those.
We know what's inside.
They're almost solid.
We x-rayed them, too. No grain.
Well, but it's like a human brain when you open it up.
He is
coming
to the end.
You don't know what's going to be inside.
God.
He is. Okay, so Carson's people say this about the former CIA official. Well, he is coming to the end of a long career of serving our country. His input is appreciated, but he's clearly not one of Dr. Carson's top advisors. Okay, that's who you want as a top advisor. Somebody who actually...
Who understands shit,
dumb fuck.
Right.
Somebody who read a book about Egypt and said, they hold dead bodies. Cats in there.
We found dead people.
All right, so this... I mean, it just gets stupider and stupider.
And he just does. And hopefully at some point. Like,
but the new poll came out today.
Why isn't any of the Republicans figuring this out?
Because they're all just as dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, nothing to see here. Nothing to see.
Yeah, like, oh, no, he's amazing.
He's an outsider.
Yeah, but
and he says things like, well, the media's out to get me. No, people are just asking questions because you're a dumb fucking ass.
Which is exactly what Palin did. Like, you're all, you know, gotcha questions.
Gotcha questions. She coined that phrase.
Journalism. Gotcha journalism. Sarah Palin.
We asked you what newspaper you fucking read.
Yeah. That's not really a gotcha question.
Or magazine. Right. And if you can't name one, that's not a gotcha. That's a... You're just dumb.
That's something that the McDonald's cashier might ask you while you look at the menu. So, have you read anything good lately?
Gotcha.
There is not a McDonald's cashier in the fucking world who's ever going to ask you, have you read anything good lately?
But when you're faced with something that stupid, you might be like, all right, have you read a book lately? Because clearly this menu's confusing you. You're taking 10 minutes.
If it's breakfast, they're going to be like, would you like to buy a paper too?
Who walks up to McDonald's and does it? It's like,
how do you not know?
Let's just sidetrack here for a second.
Back the fuck up.
Because it's going to go, make this about McDonald's, but it's a Chinese restaurant. Whenever you order from a Chinese restaurant and someone says, well, what do they have? The same fucking shit at everywhere. Every Chinese restaurant in every corner of every city of this great nation.
Sweet sour pork, sweet sour chicken, fried rice.
It's either Kung Pao or General Tso, and it means fucking spicy. How everywhere. Stupid
same,
are you?
Same, and it's really cats.
Right. And don't look in the dumpster.
Don't.
Because there's a worker there fishing things out.
And the mushu on my plate.
So you know why there's no sound for the pavement? Because the cat's being eaten.
Well, and I mean, I did have an unfortunate...
I love Chinese food. There was no reason for that rant.
Absolutely.
But anytime
I
go to order Chinese food, it's, can I see the menu? Why?
Why? Right. Same.
What?
They're not going to tell
Chinese
you
every Chinese food restaurant, here's what I need. I need a sweet and sour chicken. I need a shrimp lo mein. I need some fried rice and two egg rolls. Not the fucking spring rolls. I want egg rolls.
Right.
If I don't have egg rolls, I wouldn't want anything.
And don't you already have it in your head?
If there's no vanilla, if it's not real whipped cream, then nothing. Then no nothing. Pie. No, just the pie. Not eating.
But if you're already going to a Chinese or a restaurant, you already had an idea of like, oh, God, blah, blah, blah sounds good. You've already got it in your head.
Like,
you
I mean, I hope the Chinese invented something new and they all picked it up.
And that shrimp shit they've got.
The shrimp, the shrimp shit.
All right, bagging up, we have enough problem with the Asians without you saying bye, Farisha.
Bye, Farisha.
For real.
However,
is that just blatant racism or are you leaving?
You bougie bitch, I think that's worth a bell ring right there. I like it, bag of nope.
Bougie bitch.
God damn.
Bye, Farisha.
Wait, now we got sidelined on a story.
He's stupid. It ended.
Oh, that's it?
I mean, and then part B was, if you walk into McDonald's, what are you going to have? A Whopper? No, not Whopper. What's it called?
That's
Big
a Burger
Mac?
King. Big Mac.
That fish thing.
Quarter pounder filet. Oh, fish.
Right.
Well, number four, no onions with a chocolate shake.
Like, it's not like you walk into McDonald's like, ooh, what's new
no,
at McDonald's?
No, I get confused because when I go to the Mickey D's, it's that, well, now that
the dollar menu.
Well, the all-day breakfast now has
I will allow you to decide between lunch and dinner, but still.
Allowed.
But when I show up at the one on 7th Avenue.
Oh, because they all have varying breakfast menus.
Yeah, I'm like, when I get there, I'm like, okay, which fucking menu am I allowed to order off of?
Not all of them have biscuits all day. Some of them just restrict you to McMuffin.
Because I get there between like
you're killing my Chinese people point.
I get there at such a weird time.
I was
in the
on board with a Chinese food restaurant.
And they're like, well, some of the luncheons, some of the... I'm like, just tell me what I can order. Can
just
I get
point
my-
to it, bitch.
Yeah. And then I'm like, listen, all I really want is the same thing I get all the time. Is that available? They're like, oh, is this Jason? Yes. Okay, yes. I want what I always get. Thank you.
Okay, isn't it sad that have a usual at McDonald's that they know you?
Do you know how many restaurants, when I walk in, because I go on to so many places on my way to
people
work...
People leave the restaurant?
Yeah, well, that too. That's just because I forgot to bathe. Bougie bitch doesn't think soap's good enough. No, but...
Was it actually soap
or was it cocaine?
Sometimes my parole officer listens.
Probation. They don't have
the voice.
No, but there are so many restaurants where I walk in and like, here's your bag. Like, oh, I forgot to call an order. It's Thursday.
Like, we know.
Yeah.
You're here. We put out under the heat lamp.
Exactly.
I've made friends with her. Her name is Luna. So shout out to Luna.
Does she live on the second floor?
No.
It's Luca. I'm sorry. My dad.
No. My daddy beats me. What's that?
She's the overnight cashier at the drive-thru at the McDonald's.
The overnight cashier?
Yes.
What is she aspiring to be? The daytime cashier?
I don't know.
Is that the one on McDowell?
Yeah. No, 7th
Avenue and Indian School.
Oh, that one.
Oh, it's 24 hours?
That one's 24 hours.
That's a game changer. The one on McDowell's 24 hours. That one's 24
hours. And I thought the new one on McDowell was going to have robot service, but they don't.
That was an urban legend.
But that was an urban legend that I bought into. Even I was like,
he's thinking about weed. You realize that because he just said herbal. Al's got weed on his mind.
Let's get it on.
You know, Diana Ross did not like recording with him because he was always stoned in the studio and she didn't like the smoke.
Whatever. Shut up, Diana.
I know.
She was probably drunk.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's a valid point.
Breathing a .24 on her way to Blockbuster fucking video, you bougie bitch.
I don't mind you being high.
She's a
boozy bitch.
She's a boozy bitch.
She's a boozy bougie bitch.
A boozy bougie bitch.
That's hard to say.
That is. There's a lot of spit on this microphone because of that phrase.
Let's never play musical chairs.
Yeah.
I can wash them.
Let's never.
I will wash them.
They smell so good when you wash them.
Oh,
they match your fabric. Today I was all about like personal hygiene and health. Flu shots and dentists.
It's so nice.
I had some kind of thing put in my mouth.
Oh,
you're lucky. It was
color.
That was the hooker when I, because I don't want the car. Can I just have the hooker?
Was that on the menu at the French grocery?
Yeah, exactly. Can you just put that in my mouth? No, I don't have the courage to ask him out.
I'm not going to ask him out. I'm just going to.
No, wow. I think we're probably ready for your headline segment.
Or
your entertainment.
Yeah,
you think
right,
so,
let's find that page.
Let's see if we can do this. Here we go.
Entertainment!
If the page ever loads. Can't say it enough. Fargo. Changes in schedules. Oh, I don't know where we can fit that in. The Wiz is coming.
Yay.
And then we're moving on to something better. And then there's a host of SNL announced, and that's beyond to something better. The rest were headlines that I used somewhere else. So we're done. All right, so SNL has announced its last three hosts. I don't know if it's a season. Honestly, I don't. I think they might have a show in between. I don't know what they've... Because I was not prepared for... Oh, and I never remember her name. She directed Pitch Perfect 2... she's in all the Hunger Games movies.
Elizabeth Banks.
Kind of funny. Some funny parts to her SNL.
She's fucking hilarious. She's funny.
And can sing a little bit. I finally watched the Donald Trump one. It was not unendurable.
All right.
He danced and sang a little bit. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't
SNL
awful.
Usually does pretty well when they have awful people on there.
And the funny part was they made the right amount of fun of him. Larry David was playing Bernie Sanders.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Fantastic.
That is the Sarah Palin, Tina Fey of this year.
Yeah.
It's so spot on and ridiculous. And he came on, Larry David came on during Trump's monologue and yelled, "You're a racist."
And that was
funny.
And he
was like, they told me I could have $5,000 if I said that, so I did it.
Yeah.
And he like walked off. It was perfect. And I can't remember, there was a really funny joke during the weekend update. Michael Che did the joke, and then he was like, and the guy
his host there, in the show.
And he made a reference that it was very clever. But the weekend update from this week with Elizabeth Banks was just perfect.
I think I had
because they got rid of Colin Jost is no longer the head writer of the show. They kind of demoted him so he could spend his time making Weekend Update funny again.
Good,
and it's paying off because they're hitting it. Their joke it's kind of like Noah what's his butt on The Daily Show,
which I thoroughly enjoy.
Trevor
it's
Noah,
also because I want to
no
fuck him.
Trevor Noah, what's his name?
I hate
say
people
that
with two first
names. That's the Nightly Show. It's a totally different one.
Well, oh, he's really good.
The Nightly Show's funny, too.
The South
African tan one that I want to bang.
Oh.
Trevor Noah.
Yeah, he's very hot.
Fuck.
And I like his delivery. I read a thing saying that he keeps taking the I'm a stranger in a strange land here. And someone was saying that it's gotten old too quick. Like, it's time to pounce. Like, you need to stop playing that card. Because John Oliver is doing... so well on
mm-hmm.
That
show's the real it's just appointment television, but the real heir to Jon Stewart is not The Daily Show, it's Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not on Daily, so they're just saying that Trevor Noah needs to
Trevor Noah
just ditch that stranger in a strange land and I don't understand your customs, catch the fuck up.
Well, you're here.
I'm so cute. America's so weird.
Yeah, that shtick.
Yeah, he needs to get that
old,
yeah.
But
he needs to take his pants off.
He does. Near me or on me or...
just sit on my face.
Trevor Noah, yep. No
I'll
pants.
Even go second
Look,
on that
the
deal.
Twins are on board.
Yeah. You won't even know when we text.
You and I are left out of this one.
So
no, I mean, you don't think he's cute. Attractive? I'm not.
You don't think he's attractive?
I'm not on board.
I'm not super upset with seeing him naked, but he's super cute.
South of the border.
I think he's totally. No, cute.
He's from South Africa,
of the African
he's
border.
He's cute
right.
And he's funny, but I don't see him that way.
No.
Yeah.
I do.
You don't want to call a family meeting with him, is what you're saying?
Was that
family meeting?
Did I miss that in a story earlier?
Family meeting, yeah.
Family meeting.
I just love Harrison's stroke writ large on our screen. Because Bagga Nope once, she was a boozy bourgeois bitch on my headstone.
Having a stroke, Harrison, that's a good one.
She was so offended.
Don't die!
No, but you got to die first because now you're fighting over the headstone. So whoever dies first wins that game. So SNL has announced the last three hosts of 2015 will be Ryan Gosling, Chris Hemsworth, and then for the, what I guess they're going to call it, their winter
season
finale, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler will be hosting together. They'll be co-hosting together.
Oh, very nice.
Because as
have they ever done that in their past? I don't recall.
No, but they've done the Globes a couple times now, and it's been really funny.
They're
not doing the
funny.
Golden.
No,
Globes.
But what I'm talking about, has SNL ever had two like a co-host?
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, yeah, that's
I'm not asking. Aware.
Now
of it.
With that, here's my question about this. Now, I love them both. I think they're hilariously funny. I love them together. It all works. But to me, what I sense is what I keep getting because they keep coming back to the show. I kind of feel like SNL's like, okay, we really can't rock like we used to without them, so let's just keep bringing them back.
But everybody keeps coming back. They keep, like, what's his name that does Last Man on Earth?
Oh, yeah.
He came back and hosted. They like bringing back their people, because Lorne Michaels keeps the tentacles out. Like, He keeps them going, and they have a movie coming out, so they're promoting, is it called Sisters, I think?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just remember.
Donut bumpers.
Tale as old as time. Oh, SNL isn't as good as it used to be.
Right, yeah, I've been listening to that for 45 years.
The funny thing, and wasn't the Trump episode with the in the Weekend Update? Was that when I forget her name? Hilarious, the black woman who did the whole thing about getting laid.
The she looks kind of mannish.
Yes,
I think it's it's not. I can't think of her name.
Think of her name either.
That was so fucking funny.
She's the one that her first episode on is where she was talking about 12 Years a Slave. And she was only on there as a stand-up, and she did her thing about, like, why she would have been a bad slave and why they would have never sold her because she's kind of manly looking. And it was like, it was just one of those things that was so on edge and so uncomfortable that people were like, it was kind of like when Chris Rock hosted and he went there, like, every single time. And Louis C.K. was another one that, like, and people were like, oh, it's I'm offended. No, it's Saturday Night Live. It's edgy television. Like, it should be. Like, you're supposed to be. We'll get to that in Thoughtful Vulgarity.
All right.
But so the musical guest with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey is Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, which I think is just going to make for great music. Disclosure, I think, was the band that was on this week. Sam Smith sang one song with them, and Lorde sang the other one. I bought both. It's been a while since I went right from like SNL to like buying the song, but well done. But I just think that's fun. They're just so funny together.
Well, and the two hotties and the other. I'll watch SNL for those.
Oh, right.
Chris Hemsworth and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was just thinking, you said those two names, and I was like, well, every woman who loves fall will be watching.
Yeah.
And every
fight. We were at the French Grocery because we ate so much opera cake. Because I was going to bring in, they had pumpkin spice beignets.
Okay.
But I was going to bring them in just because I thought that would be our tribute to Paris, was to have pumpkin spice beignets. So The Wiz Live is on December 3rd. Please set your DVRs or whatever device you self-identify.
I'm just
going to
write Wiz December on the 3rd, and I'm hoping that I don't get that confused with something else.
I saw the photos going around on Facebook today, and I was like, I am on board.
Queen Latifah in that big dress?
Yes.
No, she's dressed as a man. Queen Latifah is the Wiz.
I just saw her name in a picture, and I assumed it was
sometimes
her.
Sometimes I think she's manly, too.
No, but she's playing the Wiz. But there is a wonderful video, if you find it, and it's the girl playing Dorothy, whose name I don't quite have yet, and Stephanie Mills, who I think is playing Aunt... I can't remember what the aunt's name is in that show.
Annie M was in the original.
But her name is something
else in
this. But so it's...
Dear IMDb, what are we looking for?
A drum kit, apparently.
Yeah.
Shanice Williams plays Dorothy.
Yeah, and who does Stephanie Mills play?
Auntie M.
Oh, it is Auntie M. Okay.
Look at me.
Is she related to Haley Mills?
Bougie.
Look at this bougie bitch over here.
Bougie bitch, knowing her theater. wow. So, I know, it comes out kind of judgy, yeah, doesn't it?
Kinda.
So there is a video on YouTube of the girl that's playing Dorothy and Stephanie Mills, the original Dorothy from Broadway, singing Home together as a duet. And it is just, it's just tear.
Spectacular.
Tear jerking. It's so beautifully done. And they have Stephanie Mills, who's slightly older now. She's got that rich kind of velvety voice now. It's ooh, mature, velvety. And she's not the 12-year-old girl she was back in the day. But she hits
none
the
of
notes.
Us are.
Yeah. She hits the notes in a very different way, and it's so lovely. It's just lovely. So if you find that, it's all over YouTube, and it's gorgeous. So
well, I can find it on the YouTube and pipe it through here.
Well, yeah. I know.
How did you find it? What did you use to find it?
Typed in Stephanie Mills Home.
And it should come up pretty quick.
Here, I'll post a link in the chat room.
So the best part, though, is because I always tell you, and if you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that if Craig Sedan and Neil Marin are together doing anything, you just show up and go. Whatever they do, you're in good hands, girl. So they gave us so many things, but the last thing they gave us was, what was that show called on NBC about the Smash?
Oh.
So
I'm still very
upset. Only took a short break. They took a very short break to put this live production on NBC, but they're going back and they are going to mount an actual stage show on Broadway of Bombshell.
Of Bombshell?
So Bombshell will be coming, and they're already with the songs.
Oh, I see.
And if they don't wait too long, then What's-Her-Face, Megan Hilty, can play, or either one. I'll take either one, but Megan Hilty would be the better choice. Because although that was the point of the show, was who would they cast as Marilyn? But I think Megan Hilty, Let Me Be Your Star with the 5 key changes, is just spectacular. So, but if you, all the I videos cried. From The Wiz, they've released Brand New Day.
Oh, that sounds much better than playing it from my device.
I have had my mind that's spun Stephanie. Around in space. Get yet it. I watched it grow away.
Tiny.
And oh, if you listen, God, please don't make it hard to know if we should believe the things that we see. They tell us, should we try and stay? Or should we run away? Or would it be better just to let things be?
This is going to end up being a lot better than their failed attempt last year. Well, in my
Peter
opinion.
Peter Pan?
No, of the Sound of Music that they did with, was it Carrie Underwood that did it?
But, we've talked about this. The problem with that is that the play of the Sound of Music has so many problems.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah.
It just,
but, so but I already have
there's a doe, a deer, a female deer.
Higher expectations
but
for
they
the
say, all the wrong people sing the songs, the acting was uniformly terrible throughout that.
Yeah.
But the singing was spectacular.
The singing was good.
Because, I mean, but I have a friend who was so offended that there was a black person playing an Austrian nun that he just went on this rant.
Oh.
That he probably still wishes he could take it down because he just came off as kind of like Nazi Germany still lives.
Oops.
And it was one of my favorite things ever, and I kind of screenshotted and sent it back to him kind of on an annual basis.
Oh, remembering you did this fucktard?
Yeah, because it just came off. And he really does mean it, though. He really just doesn't understand why black people could ever play
anything other
else.
Than black people.
Right, if they're not...
Or, actually, I shouldn't pigeonhole like that. That's not fair. I didn't mean it like that. Santa just is white. That's the difference.
Right, Santa. Certainly,
just
certainly.
Why can't
white.
The Christians figure out that Jesus was a Jew? And tan.
And probably
Middle
not
Eastern.
White.
Pretty brown, yeah.
Yeah.
Just
like
as far
really
as his,
dark.
Middle Eastern. And really made it only as far as his sandals could
but
take
but when
him.
You go to a Southern Baptist church in Texas, Jesus, no, yeah. no, yeah. Jesus was black.
Yeah. All right, kids, we got another hour to go. Grab yourself a beverage, a coffee, a snack. We may even have 90 more minutes, depending on how the rest of this goes. We'll be back. We got Kat Carlson's going to have a segment. Maybe. We'll see.
Kinda.
We'll be right back in just 60 seconds. Stand by.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hi, diddly ho, neighbors. It is just after 9 o'clock. Central Phoenix is where we are broadcasting from. That's in the contiguous 48 of the United States. Thank you for joining us from wherever you're listening. All over the world is where they're listening from. I enjoy it every week. Thank you for being with us. This week, the cast consists of Kat Carlson. Our friend Jason Carlton is here. And Al T. Perkins is rounding out the cast. We are in the middle of Al's segment. We like to call it entertainment. Al calls it shouting at the mic about various things he likes. Al, continue on.
Fair.
That's okay. An accurate description. Yeah.
So we're going to go to our first All Skate of this. So Rose McGowan, actress, person.
Kind of hot, right? Stand by.
Kind of.
Yeah, she's the one that showed up naked to the VMAs, 15 years ago.
Is she from Jawbreaker?
Just because you're naked doesn't mean you're hot.
Well, no, she was hot at the time of dating Marilyn Manson.
Nothing truer has ever been spoken.
But still,
I mean, all right, hang
she's
on.
She's slightly
image
older now. It's been a couple days.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm in.
Yeah.
Little crazy little redhead.
So Rose McGowan has clarified a Facebook post she wrote Monday in which she called out Caitlyn Jenner for saying the hardest part about being a woman is figuring out what to wear. In Monday's post, McGowan slammed Jenner's comments and referred to her being honored as one of Glamour Women's of the Year. Jenner had made the statement in an interview to BuzzFeed backstage at the event. Caitlyn Jenner, you do not understand what being a woman is about at all. You're a woman now. You're a woman now, question mark. Well, fucking learn that we have had a very different experience than your life of male privilege. Woman of the Year, no, not until you make up, not until you wake up and join the fight. That was terrible. Let me read it again. You're a woman now. Well,
rewind.
Fucking learn that we've had a very different experience and that your life of male privilege. Woman of the Year, no, not until you wake up and join the fight. Though McGowan ended her post with a word of support for the transgendered community, I'm happy she's living her truth, she wrote. The backlash led to the actress posting this follow-up message on Facebook and Twitter on Tuesday. She says, I am not, nor will I ever be, transphobic. Disliking something a trans person has said is no different than disliking something a man has said or that a woman has said. Being trans doesn't make one immune from criticism. McGowan also said that she hopes to fight alongside Caitlyn Jenner in a quest for equal rights. I just think this is this new, and this is our thoughtful topic as we're giving everything away early, our thoughtful topic question for it, but not here, but this really needs to be said. Like, you're allowed to criticize people.
You know, my...
And her saying that the hardest part about being a woman is figuring out what to wear is a cunty, bougie bitch thing to
that's
say.
That's some bitchy shit, yeah.
And you need to be called to the rug
okay.
on that
now
one.
Now you're just still, like, you are a transgender woman and you have had your struggle, fabulous for you, but you're still being, like, a misogynistic douche by saying...
Yeah, and you've turned into your right. bougie daughters that we all hate. Well, like, you just turned into another Kardashian cunt.
You know, my... One of my favorite headlines of the week that I happened to just kind of pass by and made a mental note of, the headline was, call Caitlyn out, but call her Kate. You know what I mean? Like, don't... Caitlyn Jenner is saying some ridiculous
things.
Bullshit. Okay? Oh, but the way to call her out is not to try and negate and try and attack who she is. Like, oh, let her be who she is.
But she did call her yeah. Caitlyn Jenner. Like, she didn't call
absolutely.
Her Bruce or
Which
he
is,
or anything like that.
But if you go all throughout the internet and even,
right, right.
even, you know, at your local bar or at your water cooler or whatever it is that you talk shit with people, like, about half of people are going to try and just attack the transgendered aspect
right.
to attack Caitlyn Jenner. And that's not okay. That's the part that we need to, like, draw that line.
Right.
Like, yes, you're an asshole, but call her Caitlyn.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like...
Call her an asshole.
And you, and right. she didn't yeah. all of a sudden ascend to, like...
And it was
either
in the
way,
news today,
Jesus thinks
today
you're
or yesterday.
Right, right, exactly. Like, you're...
He said that he still is going to be voting Republican.
Right. Yeah, I was really surprised when I saw like, that, but I guess I should...
Again,
this is
just Caitlyn.
This is just an old, okay. just an old white man that just... Uh-uh.
Yeah, she is like my grandfather.
And
Was.
And that white male privilege will live with Caitlyn Jenner forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, will live forever.
Until she
because
actually
Caitlyn
faces
Jenner
real
spent
prejudice.
50 some odd years as a straight white man.
Right.
Like, whoever you are inside and whoever you've come out to be, like, this is the life that you lived. Whether it was your true self or not, this is the life that you live, and this is the perspective that you're coming from. And so those of us that don't have that perspective...
And don't get to hide out in a millionaire's mansion in Malibu
exactly,
to do your
transition. And live out here in the world and have experienced a whole lot more discrimination and a whole lot more, you know, hateful action from other people, from the straight white men... in life are not going to agree
but
with
watching,
you.
Yeah. Watching
and now you're
her
not
show,
a dick, you're a cunt, because right. you identify as female, so welcome to it.
Yep. Watching her show, like, I did, she was making such a point to learn and surround herself with other trans women, and then she still just goes batshit crazy half the time, and during this entire show, it's like she's just getting her hair and makeup done.
Yeah.
And is not really... Well, she'll take a day trip out to a youth camp, kind of like what we have 1 in 10 here in Arizona, but like a youth camp for trans kids or troubled teens. And she talks to them and is all great and emotional and like, I'm here to help. And then 2 hours later, she's drinking a $500 bottle of champagne and driving... $1 million car.
Right.
Like, well, and then the other thing, I had talked about this.
Just make me transphobic. Just think she's a cunt.
When the, I watched like the first two or three episodes of, what's the reality show called? I Am Kate or whatever the hell. What's it called? The reality show.
Yeah.
What's it? Pay attention. I Am Kate.
Oh.
I watched it and what was,
I thought we agreed with you.
What was astounding with me, but nobody acknowledged me. I want to be acknowledged.
Well, I was, Clayton's in the room.
It's Al's show. Well, I would, yeah, I know. What I was really
I have to acknowledge all of you now.
What was so crazy about that, and we did discuss that on this at one point, is when they were talking about they all load up in a bus. She rented a bus. They all went up to San Francisco to meet with the HRC group with other trans people. And one of the things that came out was in the bus on the way up, she made a comment about how they have to end all of the like all of the subsidies they get from the government from all these programs they're involved in, and everybody was like, okay, she doesn't get it at all. She doesn't understand any... That's not how this works. It's not how any of this works.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of things that just, I think, were rude awakenings to her to realize...
This tranny needs to live out on the street and learn... And learn
and do sex acts to make a fucking living to eat a burger from
again,
McDonald's.
Again, that Malibu mansion just makes you a bougie bitch. It doesn't make you a hero of the year.
And then when that thing came out today in the headlines about... she says, I forget how it was worded, but something... The effect of still going to vote.
Like, I'm still planning on voting Republican.
Right. Something like, wow, well, really?
So all you've learned, and especially you want to still stand
drink
with the people.
Champagne with lipstick.
Yeah, now that you still want
to
stand with people
and
that are adamantly against like women's rights.
And
literally, a woman.
Everything that you've just done, everything, that you, aside from the fact that whatever money you've made, they're all for your money, but everything else that you've just done, all of them stand vehemently against.
Yeah. And sometimes violently.
Violently, you are correct.
You know what? We've said it over and over again tonight. Republicans, some of them just aren't the brightest.
They just don't get it.
So she can be a bougie bitch in her Barbie Malibu mansion and just not have
any smarts. Can only imagine what's inside those pyramids.
Imagine.
We're forced to only imagine. Okay, now this last one, I might be shitting on someone else's story. I don't know.
Well, it wouldn't be a first time, would it?
There's only me left, so...
This is another Allscape. Oh, and I just deleted it.
Here we go.
It's in the headlines today, so...
what are we talking about, Al?
Charlie Sheen.
Ah, yes.
For sure.
Nobody saw that coming?
No.
Really?
No.
No, I honestly didn't... But so,
and I'm not saying
why is
I
this
had
news?
Some. I'm not
well,
saying
it's
clairvoyant.
Because he was being blackmailed,
right? That's
allegedly.
Okay.
He was being blackmailed by a tabloid magazine that said they were going to out him and do all this. So one of his friends,
so
dealers,
he has a disease because he fucked a bunch of dirty hookers and
right,
like
or
so,
drugs. We don't know what
or
he
drugs,
did.
Yeah.
Right, or
but,
drugs.
I mean, so,
but the fact that it's still something you can blackmail somebody over,
yeah, it's
and. Can he still get work? Like, are people, like, what are people's, people will
ramifications
show,
of?
People will show up at a fundraiser, but will they do?
Well, the thing that bothered me about
all he plays
all
these
of
sex
it.
Scenes. He's always in bed. He's always in bed with somebody.
His characters have always been little.
Well, the thing that bothered me about all of the story is not, I mean, the number one that we're talking about it, but number, because I'm like, it's fucking Charlie Sheen. But because
the one thing that they said on the national news today was, but lucky for him, he's unlike so many millions of people. He's undetectable, and he's going to be able to live his whole life. I'm like, no, that's actually basically everyone now. Like,
yeah, nowadays.
That has insurance and gets meds.
Yes, it gets, mm-hmm. yes. Yeah. So I just didn't like the fact that the news turned it into this.
Everybody else, it's a death sentence. But for Charlie Sheen.
No, he's fine and undetectable.
I gotcha. But it shows us, I think, and it is kind of creepy that we're talking about someone's like, but people come out, like Tom Hanks came out and said he had diabetes and now he can be the spokesperson for diabetes. You know, that here's a fit white man with diabetes, not what you're expecting. You know what I mean? That was kind of a shocker. So, like Paula Deen, not really shocking.
Right.
Tom Hanks, a little bit shocking.
Yeah. But I mean, we already let Magic Johnson do this 20 years ago?
Right. But here's the thing, like, is this going to, like, will this actually affect him? But the other thing is the fact that people are treating it like a dirty secret shows how far we haven't come.
Right.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, there's conversations going on about like the joys of unsafe sex because there's a pill you can take. Like, we're just working our way backwards in so many different ways on something.
Well, the young
like,
generation now, I you see it on even regular social media. I'm on PrEP, so come over and breed my hole.
Right.
Well,
I mean, that's the
I don't really think that's
what I
appropriate.
Think is so shocking that's going on.
I don't think the phrase breed my hole has been said on this show.
Well,
out of all the things we've ever said.
Talk America first, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Bougie. Well,
bougie bitch. Real. Read her hole. but it really is shocking that, like, it's like saying there's insulin, so eat all the cake you want to. You know what I mean?
I was
like,
just thinking of a show name, but that's not the one I'm going to use.
That's not the one. But, I mean, there's feed all my kinds hole, of diseases little that they have some kind of, like, something that can help you. Like, sure, you should exercise once in a while. We can take you in and put a balloon pump in and do angioplasty on your heart. Or you could just
try
do these preventative measures and not have a heart attack. So, I mean, it's just such a weird way to look at this disease process as like, well, bring it on. We got, you know what I mean? Like a little safe sex, a little knowledge, a little. And the way that the press handled this today and the way that it got handled on social media, I thought was just kind of ugly and kind of like, wow, we really haven't gone anywhere. Like, we're worried about her truth, but we're doing this shit over here. Like, we are like beating up the wrong clown in this parade.
Apparently, the blackmailing has been going on for like 4 years to the tune of Charlie Sheen's paid up to $10 million into this blackmail.
Yeah, and
keep the story down.
And somehow they found out like right when he got his celebrity notification. If anybody's seen Postcards from the Edge, there's a really funny scene with Annette Bening and Meryl Streep where she's like, "Is this some kind of celebrity information about HIV?" Anyways, I didn't sell that right, but.
Because I didn't get it at all.
And then I always realized that you didn't see these movies.
And then I haven't seen all the movies. No, I'm sorry.
But it was just, but since it started, and I guess like some people knew in his life, but then the goddesses said they were not informed, the two dirty whores that he was.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, and then apparently he went on to the Today Show. So if you watch the Today Show, then we're just terribly paraphrasing it. And said that, you know, he was diagnosed 4 years ago and has been since blackmailed by several people, which he then says, like, just kind of threw him into a drug and alcohol-induced depression, which led to more hookers, which led to more shame and more blackmail and, you know, just like this horrible
and the entire
downward spiral.
The winnings, all that shit that was all rolled into the one.
Yeah, what's the timeline when he was winning?
Somewhere around that same time frame, but they didn't like who he was paying off, and they said that like on one hand he looked relieved to have it out and not
to
be
just be like done,
not have
like,
it be like this dirty secret he has to keep, and on the other hand he doesn't want to be a spokesperson for this.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to go on and do Truvada or whatever it's called commercials. Like,
I wonder if Tiger Blood was code for a cocktail, like a medical cocktail.
Yeah, I don't know, but to me it's just so strange. I'm just always amazed. Like, I had a conversation with a friend a few weeks ago who was telling me about young people and they're like, "Oh, condoms, that's not sexy."
Well,
and I was
no,
like,
and it's changed though over because I've seen this, I've experienced it. 10 years ago, it was, "Well, I'm young, I just want to get HIV because the drugs are good now and I can live a whole life, but then I don't ever have to worry about safe sex." And now the conversation has changed of, well, now I can take a pill and I can still have unsafe sex because the pill's going
to
keep me from ever getting anything.
And like, herpes, gonorrhea, like all the other
I'd
rather just watch a porn and come over and let's watch Dexter together. You know what I mean? Like,
let's Netflix and chill and really just Netflix and chill.
That's me.
I'll jerk off before you come over.
Again, kiss me with my clothes on. I got porn that I can get off. There's just too many diseases involved that you're worrying about one, but the other ones are just, you can still get hep C from all this shit.
The other one I worry about is financial dependence. You're not living here. That's another disease.
We didn't even want to talk about that.
You're not coming over. You're not.
You
got to
have
here.
Somewhere to go.
Right.
A job. You cannot borrow $500. Do you drive to work?
Yeah. Do you drive to work? Oh, exactly.
Al taught me that one years.
That's Ricky Rue.
That Rick Bratwell, but you and I used it a lot.
Oh yeah, that's the best way.
Every
you
time
get three questions answered at once.
Have a job,
you
have a car,
you have somewhere to be. Yeah.
I remember.
Somewhere to be. I remember. So that's it for me.
Oh, good
job.
Oh, my God.
You did such a good job.
You did a good job.
I downloaded like 15 stories.
Nice. You did. You've been all over the place.
I'm every woman.
Right now.
Literally.
It's all in you.
It's all in me.
Are we wrapped up and ready to go for Kat Carlson's attempt?
Well, why wouldn't we be?
Well, here we go. My God.
Attempt. The Kat Carlson attempt.
In this week's attempt, here's our keywords that we're going to attempt to talk about. I've got an article about the word of the year.
Ooh.
I've got a place you can sell your poop.
Okay.
Ooh.
I've got repossessed children. And I've got President Obama popping off tonight in the attempt.
The attempt.
Which is the best name for this segment.
Kat Carlson, the attempt.
Ever.
In a world.
And it fits the music.
Yeah, the attempt.
It totally does. Okay, so we'll start out with the most ridiculous, which may be any of them, really.
I just realized, that we may need to change your theme music to the MacGyver theme, where he makes shit out of nothing and hopes that it all works out.
Because I literally do that. MacGruber.
We have 15 seconds before the bomb explodes.
Quick, give me your chewing gum. And
Always amused by MacGruber.
Can you look at, just YouTube up some MacGruber so we have it?
Let me see if I can find it. Let me see if you go ahead. I'll look that up.
In the absurd, Oxford Dictionaries dubs a word of the year every year. Like
Toast dubs.
It's been tweet. It's been hashtag. It's been a whole bunch of things this year. And I shit you not.
Live your truth.
Nope. It's not even a word. It's an emoji.
Fuck.
Goodbye, English language. That's right. For the first time ever, the Oxford Dictionary's word of the year is a pictograph. Face with tears of joy emoji.
No.
Uh-huh. Is your word of the year.
A bougie bitch.
What was it? I'm sorry.
Oxford Dictionary just sold out.
Face with tears of joy.
No me gusta. I'm going to go get more wine for that emoji.
No
me gusta.
That's Spanish.
You left the French train.
I don't love that at all.
So why
why was this chosen, ask? Well, yes. Let me tell you.
Is that more in this? Yeah. Is there more to this attempted story?
Emoji, the term emoji, and the actual pictograph, have been around since the late 90s, but 2015 saw their use and the use of the word emoji increase hugely.
Huge.
Also, texting has had an influence. This year, Oxford University Press have partnered with leading mobile technology business SwiftKey, which is the keyboard people that are responsible for all your swiping and your emojis in the first place, to explore frequency and usage statistics for some of the most popular emoji around the world. And face with tears of joy.
I use the eggplant.
Face with tears of joy. It sounds like a Christmas song. Tears of joy and sorrow.
Yes.
And frankincense and myrrh.
Yeah.
Face with tears of joy was chosen because it was the most used emoji globally in 2015. This is not just Americans. This is
international.
Right. Ooh, because the language of emoji knows no language.
Transcends.
Thank you.
And the good thing is, I don't understand it in any language.
SwiftKey identified that face with tears of joy made up 20% of all emojis used in the UK, 17% of the United States, and a sharp rise from 4% to 9% respectively throughout the rest of the world.
Is that a sharp rise?
Sharp rise!
Sharp rise!
Sharp rise!
Two things.
Oh.
First, two things. I don't get emojis.
I know. They're not surprising.
I'd like to end my statement with a little wink or a smile. But now that we have those
I've
gifts,
long been using
honestly,
winky face.
Winky face for a long time.
I just see the emoji and I step away. I'm like, nope.
I feel like I should
I don't
send
even like books
now.
With made up words. Like Harry Potter, when they start making words up, I'm like, nope.
But I enjoy
home.
The gifts now that you can send.
Sure,
because now you're putting together a moving picture of this is the emotion I'm portraying, and it's for real.
Especially
like
when I
say good morning to certain people, I do. There's a gift that I found of Carlton,
singing in the rain.
No, good Carlton from morning. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air dancing and going up to Will Smith, and Will Smith just puts his hand on his face and pushes him over. And I'm like, good morning.
Now that's I guess.
Nice. I just sent you one.
Is there an emoji there? That's
yeah.
so nice.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's unimpressed.
Bougie bitch. Just
bougie
care,
bitch.
But,
like, no.
But the other thing
I sent him a pile of shit. Is what I sent him. That's what I sent you.
So... In Pinot Noir. What's that show called? Oh, the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. They're the daughter
mid-sized
of
car.
The daughter mid-sized Malamar. Car. The daughter of
Tom Berenger.
I can't, Roseanne Barr.
Every time
I can't. Pinot Noir. But the Every daughter time. Speaks in emoji, so she says it out loud. And I don't get it, but it's really funny that she thinks like cupcake, pineapple. Like, and she lists all the emojis she would say there, and the friend understands what she's trying to say. Like, they make it into a code, and it's so funny because I'm like, I don't get that at all, but I understand that these must mean something. It must be like talking to Native Americans in smoke signals. Like, it must mean something to someone.
And goodbye to the Native Americans.
Yes, yeah. Indigenous people.
I felt like
it
was respectful.
Indigenous peoples around the world.
Indigenous people.
All the people in the casinos.
Yeah, because that was the equivalent of the Trail of Tears. It'll be a statue of me in Oklahoma with an emoji crying.
I wonder if there's an Indian emoji.
Sad face emoji, tomahawk emoji.
Exactly. What if there is?
Footprint emoji.
Well, after Caitlin, now we have a transgender emoji. So.
Shut the fuck up, we do.
Yes, the emoji that's living its truth.
And voting Republican.
Bougie bitch. I can still make fun of him. I'm not an emoji hater.
Well, there's a high heel emoji.
Lady emoji, like I don't.
Like,
really
but seriously,
know.
Like if you sent me a high
well,
heel
that,
emoji,
remember
what
the big news was when they
is
changed the races of all of the emoji faces, and then they actually came out with the gay ones, and then the lesbian ones, and
so okay, I get to watch a gay person cry. Like that's what you're gonna send me over the thing.
Al, I'm sending you this one. It's an emoji of a champagne bottle.
Oh, you might like that one. There's boozy emoji.
I do enjoy the finger painting one. What I don't know what the fuck that means, except for maybe
it means
bougie.
Because I don't have my glasses.
It means let's go get some mani pedis. Yeah, that's wait, what that means.
This isn't the finger painting one, is it?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Different.
That's two on the cheek, one on the cheek. Yeah. And my favorite meme of that is the two donuts, the two pink donuts and the one chocolate donut, and somebody's doing the fingers to it. It's fucking awesome.
Now that's...
See, I approve that message right there.
Hashtag winning.
Hashtag
yeah,
comedy.
That is, but if that you, is a true
like,
Tigers
I just don't
won.
Know what I would be, what I'm supposed to get out of a pile of poop. Like, what am I supposed to get from that?
Well, if you ever text me,
say, I'm having a shitty day, but without typing out shitty, you can just put that pile
you
of poop.
So I got to go search in this phone for a piece of shit.
Well, it's harder to do on Apple. On Androids, it's fantastic.
It's super nice. And mine actually saves recently used emojis. Yes. So,
yeah, mine does too. Yeah. Oh, we have the same phone. Duh.
Right. So bag of note braces.
I bought mine immediately after yours.
Yes. I think we got them the same day.
But yeah. I'm the racist.
The day they came out.
Yeah. Bag of Nope says, but I'm a racist for bye, Farisha. I.
Bougie bag on Nope. That was funny.
She's the one that said tomahawk emoji. That's where we crossed the line.
And I said something.
But if we put a rainbow flag on it, well, actually, right now, a French flag on it, then it's not racist.
No, but I made
but
the comment.
But
you're supportive.
I was an Atlanta Braves fan for a long time, and
so you never knew better.
And I remember the tomahawk chop. Yeah.
And I made the comment about the casino, so I'm sorry about that.
I went to the last high school in the country that still used the rebel flag as our school flag.
It's a short
And see, that's how stupid Southern Texas I am. I call it the rebel flag, but it's the Confederate flag.
150 years ago, I had a roommate who went to a high school where, A, he had a protest so they could play Moni Moni at his school prom because of the dirty lyrics in Moni Moni. I got nothing.
Ride your pony.
But I guess there's a part where they yell, get fucked, get laid, or something. Okay. Yeah. The white girl and me never heard that.
It's not part of the song.
Right, but they didn't play it, so he actually led a Footloose-type protest to have Moni Moni. I mean, this is how sheltered white kid Minnesota this was.
Wow.
And then their team was called the Raiders, and it had a pirate's face on it.
Arrgh.
Are you ready for this one?
Ready.
They changed it because someone might find it offensive. I'm sorry, are there pirates amongst us? Oh. Like, how sensitive are you that you're worried about something
a
off
pirate
the coast?
Being offended.
And now, 150 years later,
a Somalian
pirates are
pirate
cute.
Off the coast of Somalia watching a high school football game in Minnesota being like, oh, wait, but oh, if you think about it, there are a lot of Somalians.
But you don't want to get them to steal your booty.
Pirates are really hurting people.
So they had a long discussion. Yeah.
With tomahawks.
And a citywide meeting to change the Raiders to raccoons because they raid the garbage. Wait for it.
Waiting.
The You're SPCA objected. I know where my sweatshirt and my wine are. Are you ready?
I'm super worried.
Jesus Christ, she's all attitude now, bougie bitch.
Bougie bitch.
The Society for Protection from
Can you imagine that level of whiteness?
Drunk if they're playing
like,
the drinking
talk
game.
About white girl problems. First, you're having a protest for Moni Moni. Then they're worried about offending pirates, so they change it. And then the local SPCA doesn't want people thinking bad things about raccoons. So they almost couldn't have the raccoon as a raider. And they had to, like, literally write a paper as to why that was not offensive. And he told me his story, and
I'm
like...
I'm laughing at my wife for her rash. Yeah,
that is funny.
I'm like, you gotta get the fuck out of town with that story. Can you imagine?
Well, clearly, we live in a world of now so
much...
That's our thoughtful vulgarity, so save it. I like your thought, but save it.
Write it down. Write it down.
Stick a cork in it.
Stick a cork in it.
Bougie.
Speaking of pile of poop emoji...
Oh. Fuck everyone.
Oh, that's a segue. See, look at you.
That's a segue from way back. Good Lord. Everybody poops. It's not just the name of a popular potty training book, but it's an essential fact of life.
Yep.
However, most people merely flush it away without a second thought.
It's just good taste.
In the spirit of one man's trash being another man's treasure, the non-profit company, Open Biome, is actually paying for stool samples in order to create a life-saving fecal transplant treatment for those infected
I've heard about,
with C. diff.
Okay, yeah, I've heard about
That's right. If you live within about 10 miles of one plant somewhere in Pennsylvania, you can poop in a bucket, wrap it up, send it in. They'll pay you $13,000 a year for a daily stool sample.
Shut
what?
$13,000.
Let's move to Pennsylvania.
Right?
But if you get C. diff in the hospital, and it is the most commonly hospital-acquired infection that's going, and we all worry about C. diff at the hospital, the diff, as we like to call it.
Yep.
And I can even tell you what it smells like. No need for the test. Mm-mm. I'll tell you if you got it or not.
Not okay.
But what you do is you get a family member who drinks the same water, eats the same food, because you have similar intestinal
bacteria.
Parasites.
Flora.
Instead, flora and fauna.
Flora.
Hashtag flora and fauna.
Oh, sure. Found.
And they give a stool sample, and they put it down your feeding tube.
So you ingest the same
water down.
Right.
They'll either inject it up your butt or go the other way to get healthy bacteria back in. But it should be someone that you like dine with, live with, share the same water with.
Groundbreaking company Open Biome is developing a freeze-dried poop capsule to save you from the horrible like poop infusion.
Right, and the person that has to water it down and inject it. Oh, Harrison.
Yeah.
No,
nobody.
Harrison, you're a doctor, but do not take the C. diff.
Nope.
You
don't. All
not
of a sudden, I'm just thinking of human centipede, and I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not on board with this.
We have not, because not still, thank God, there's drugs that work, but that is the recommended treatment, and you can Google it, and like we're all
I've heard of this.
We're all waiting for the day.
Yeah, no.
To quote George Michael.
Yeah. The going rate for a stool sample donation, $40 per donation, with a $50 kicker for those who come 5 days a week. Translates to $250
they
a week.
Come 5 days.
$13,000 a year.
That's isn't that more?
It's a different.
You get a lot more for that.
You're gonna poop anyway.
I'm just saying, but you're truly saving a life with this.
You truly are. In fact, there's a little chart terrible. Here.
I do. I have a fun story from my childhood when I had to give a stool sample. I had no idea.
Look at the chart. Oh. The size of poop.
The size of the poop is
and
amazing.
The number of people that you could save.
Well, that's what some emojis.
I feel like she used an emoji.
Dandy.
chart. Did you just make that chart?
No, oh. I did not make that chart.
I was like, that's okay, wait, she is way too good with that toy if she just made that chart full of poop.
When we started the show, she told you how woefully unprepared she was. Do you think she's going to whip out a chart the like most, that?
A chart, I don't know what she's going to whip out. I didn't ask personal questions.
Hey. That was not on.
As a child, I think I was maybe between 8 and 10 years old.
Bag of dope. Y'all are going to start calling me bag of cash.
Unfortunately, in the chat room and elsewhere in the world, before you get too excited, open biome donors need to be near their lab in Medford, Massachusetts.
So it has to be fresh poop.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but you have
there's,
to. You
there's no yesterday's poop.
And they want that water.
It's like the eat local, drink local. That's what it's from.
Poop local.
What, as a kid, my doctor, I was going in for a bunch of tests for, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me yet again. And they said, well, we're going to need a stool sample. Well, Mom, what's that? Mom said, well, we're going to have to go home and you're going to have to poop and we'll have to take it to him. So my mom knew what a stool sample was. She didn't know really
how to get it there.
This is not going to go well.
No.
She gave me a mason jar because we got plenty of those in Texas. So I pooped in a mason jar.
Shit in a jar.
I shit in a jar, sealed it up, and then because I was so embarrassed by it, I put it in a brown paper bag and stapled it shut.
Like a lunch. Did you write your name on it?
I thought you were going to say like a lady.
I brought it back to the doctor the next day, and the doctor came back. Like, I'm sitting in the room, and they come back, and they're like, we just needed a small sample.
Not the whole thing. We don't need to know all your business.
We didn't need the loaf.
It was the entire daily discharge.
A slice of the loaf would have been fine, sir.
I had no idea. I'm like, what? So,
we're not canning it.
So I asked my mom.
I did.
I go, well, Mom, what was I supposed to do? Why is the doctor making fun of me? And she's like, I don't know. And we just kind of left that doctor never went back again because I was so embarrassed.
You know that somewhere at parties that story is told that there's some kid that brought in a mason jar full of shit.
Oh, yeah. There's a doctor that whips that out every Thanksgiving somewhere.
Yes.
Here's the one that gets me dinner and free drinks. It's like me and the one-arm guy.
Somebody opens the canned like homemade cranberry sauce every Thanksgiving out of a mason jar.
That reminds me.
Seriously.
God damn it. Yep. That is funny and wrong.
Oh, when I meet my mom.
When I meet Letha, I'm going to be like, stool sample?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of a big jar of shit.
Ain't you got a vase?
God, you are segueing the shit out of this.
Good work. Strong work.
Continue on.
Utah State Child Welfare officials on Wednesday were reviewing a ruling by juvenile court judge who ordered a baby to be taken from lesbian foster parents and instead placed with a heterosexual couple for the child's well-being. Back to the chat room. They're just catching up. I don't want to read the whole article. I think this kind of falls under the category of...
What county or city was this in?
It's Utah.
It's Utah. Oh, wow. Salt Lake City. Which, honestly, Utah has been strangely like progressive and accepting of a lot of gay rights post Prop 8.
Right.
Because everybody found out that they paid for Prop 8.
The Mormon Church paid for Prop 8. The Mormon Church totally, you know, has its problems. And I will never go on record in defending the Mormon Church other than the fact that they are really fucking polite to everyone.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Well, yeah.
That's a thing.
So are the Amish.
And they really take care of each other when times are hard.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, there's
if you're tithing that church takes care of you.
No, the church doesn't take care of you. No, they're very, community focused. Yeah, very community focused. The church doesn't do shit for nobody.
Well, hell, if you pay him enough money, Joel Osteen will probably suck you off. I mean, for God's sakes. Just a guess.
Fucking hot bougie bitch. He is a bougie bitch.
But I feel,
asking me for money, a bougie bitch.
I think this just falls under the category of a gigantic step backwards because the state of Utah decided that, and they're going to be going through court for kind of a long time because Utah, you know, as with everyone else, like gay marriage, yay, everybody's happy, and so logically thinking people would be like, okay, everything open to married couples is now open to gay married couples.
Hang on just a second before you continue on. If this is the same story, a judge reversed this, and it's done.
Did they?
Yeah, the
okay,
child has been given.
Because I have old information
not,
then.
They are not yep. taking that child. So this is already wrapped up and
okay,
done.
Okay, good.
A judge came out and...
Breaking news no, on Q Talk America.
Unless there's a separate story that I'm
well,
unaware
hang on.
Of. But the... Because it was on...
Let me go.
I believe it was on CNN, because it's on in my room all the time.
Look out, CNN.
Where it said the judge had within the past couple of days had reversed it and said, nope, we are not taking this child out of this family.
One day ago, Utah judge removes himself from lesbian foster parent case. Judge who ordered the foster child removed is off the case.
Oh, is he just off the case? But I thought yeah. it had been reversed.
But the governor of Utah stood in line with a couple and said, you can't, like, you may not like a law, but you have to uphold what the law says.
Because you can't do crazy Kentucky woman bullshit.
Right, and some
oh, yeah,
some
true.
Other...
Kit, what's her name?
Kim Davis.
Yeah. I want to say whoever's in charge of their foster care system really stood up hard and said, this dog don't hunt. Like, you can't pull this shit. These kids need homes. We have loving people that want to give homes. You cannot do
right.
this.
Calm
you do more damage
down.
To the child by
oh,
ripping them,
move them around.
From yeah, to family to family to family.
But it was just a shitty story of a judge that no, and it was one of those things where it got no support. Like, he couldn't get anyone to like stand on his
yeah,
side.
Yeah, I think he was trying. I think he was trying to Kim Davis himself is what he was yeah. trying to do. He was trying to stick his heels in and be like, okay,
but
here's where I'm going to make my stand.
Yeah,
and
I didn't mean to step on it, but
no, step up. That's what my whole thing is about.
I believe that
it's
that
the
has
attempt, right.
already been done, and that's over. I think that's
the... But if somebody can find... Because I haven't seen that, and I've been following the story pretty closely. I know that the governor...
The most recent thing I can find is from yesterday, and I think Clayton's right. The Utah judge who ordered the girl taken away reversed his decision
okay.
after political pressure and then removed himself from their
said,
adoption case.
You need to change
well,
your
no,
mind
because he
right
kept,
now.
He kept saying... And
it's in the best interest of the children, is
they
what
argued,
he kept
they
saying.
Argued, he argued that he had evidence that children of homosexual parents... did fare worse
or at a disadvantage
or at a disadvantage, and they kept asking him to cite his references
where and how
right because he couldn't come up yeah. with any, and he kept saying he didn't have to, and they're like, you kind of do.
Yeah,
have
that's,
to tell
that's just an opinion based on no
how
fact.
The legal system
like we, yeah,
you can't
works.
Say Jesus told me so
right right
because that
right.
shit don't fly.
No, that doesn't fly,
you know.
And it really and no one backed him up, and I think he was surprised being in Utah. Like, I think Wyoming is the most conservative state, like, if you, like, tally up the numbers, because there's only six people there and they're all conservative, so
yeah.
they win.
Right.
But Utah's, like, number two in conservative policies, and he couldn't find a friend. He honestly could not phone a friend.
And one thing that could... And, Kat, you might have more insight on this.
I can try.
This.
Being Lebanese?
No.
Oh, being
the
from Utah?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So,
I was just trying to decide which hat to put
no,
on.
No,
would that actually be uterine?
The uterine hat on. She has.
I feel like...
Or attempted, at least.
First of all, that's not
me
a hat
that
I want to wear.
Because
there's a whole lot
you know
of
what?
Gross happening
I
there.
I can't argue against it in any way.
That was funny, too. I enjoyed
well,
it.
So,
carry
but,
on.
So what I there, not on a...
Uterian,
not,
all right.
Not
uterine.
Unlike Texas, very conservative state for the
yes.
most part, like
yes.
Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very Republican state.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Republicans are all about... Let me keep my money and small government
and stay out of my business.
Stay
unless
out.
It's
yeah.
lady business and
so,
then jump right
it's
in.
Also
yeah,
a
oh, yeah.
Very,
unless there's a vagina, then
yeah.
get in there.
But it's also a very religious Mormon state.
Yes.
So I, what I don't understand is that the church or their religion allows them to invade their privacy.
But this was not a Mormon. This wasn't a Mormon judge, which is the
no,
best part
I'm,
of this.
I'm just throwing. I'm
but,
not saying that, but I'm just saying religion is coming. You know, because I
but
hate
one
religion.
Of the things that Utah's very careful about, because they don't want to be the crazy religious state, because they have a crazy religion in their midst.
Yeah.
They're very careful about how they present themselves, and that's why they're very careful
their
to
PR
be
PR
like,
machine is very,
because
very
they
crafty.
Don't want to
no,
be the crazy religion state.
This.
Yeah, no, but so they're, and that's why, like,
well,
he couldn't find a friend, because they're like, no, we don't play that
wait,
card.
But calm you, down, right? So we've been chased all the way across this country over the last 150
yeah.
years for being, like, crazy culty people. Now we kind of have a foothold, and we're kind of, like, left alone.
Yeah.
Let us be left alone.
And now we're a mainstream religion, and we put billboards on your corner that say, I'm Mormon, ask me a question, or whatever the hell those billboards say.
Absolutely.
So Utah and there has
been,
this...
And there have been entire
and
campaigns
I get all that,
from the church.
But I want to know, like, the thinking of the Mormons of, I'm going to allow the church
to rule my life.
Well, even the Mormon Church was all
that. But I don't want the government to.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. because and I can tell you why. It's very
government,
simple.
Big church are not the same thing.
Because the church speaks directly to God.
Right.
Directly.
Okay. Directly.
Directly.
Gotcha.
No, and that's the thing, and there are jokes about it, and there are musicals about it, but the leader of the Mormon Church speaks directly to God.
And
so does the Pope.
Yeah.
He is God's chosen vessel.
I'm going to give you a rolling eyes emoji on that one.
Yeah, because, that happened. Like, I've had personal friends that has happened to. They've left the church because they got audited by the church because the church didn't think they were giving them enough money.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, when they talk about the government, they're like, "Oh, the IRS, fuck the IRS." And
well, because it's your chain of command. It's your hierarchy. Like right, a lot of people believe that, you know, maybe the government's the highest.
So you're gonna believe
it's your chain of command,
mythical
right.
than something. And you so can
and
see
the Mormons have been trying to make this big inroad with like love your gay neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
They have the I'm Mormon billboards. They're trying.
There's
to,
entire seminars about how to love your gay son. Like,
but now they came out with this new edict,
this new one
recently that like children of gays can't be accepted in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They have to wait till they're 18 and they have to denounce their parents.
Yeah.
And now if you read liberal media, Mormons are leaving in droves.
Right.
Not true.
And if you read the conservative, they're like, 11 you're overreacting.
Left, right. 11 people left.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very strange, but this new thing makes you kind of be like, all right, well, we thought we were getting along with them, but maybe we're not. I'm going to go with maybe we're not.
Maybe we're not.
But again, it's just like, well, wait.
I work with a lot of people of the Mormon faith, and they're always very nice. Like,
fucking polite to everyone.
Right. And I don't care what you say behind my back, because they probably talk shit about you, too.
Yeah, but you and I have had sex with shit about each other right boys now. In our past, and it's...
Oh, I've had enough Mormon in me.
And it never... Because it never turns out
I believe...
I was just going to say that.
Then in 1979, Jesus changed his mind about black people.
Oh,
you saw me so go through good. Some
Speaking
crazy
of black
Mormon
people,
boys. Yes!
President Obama.
We need those segues.
I'm enjoying this a lot.
President Lariah. Obama's folks want to pop off is the blackest thing that has ever happened this week.
Pop off vodka?
Pop off. No, during a press conference.
He popped off. Jack me. No.
During a press conference Monday morning, President Obama used the term pop off in reference to people making uninformed and patently ridiculous claims about what should be done with France and ISIS. And unless we go outside today and witness all kinds of crazy things happening, the writer of this article is very confident in declaring that the black president dismissively referring to his haters the exact same way Loretta Lyon or Draymond Green or your barber or your best friend or you would have is the blackest thing to have ever happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because one day he's not going to need an anger translator.
Right. That's, won't that be amazing? We were just
one
talking about
that. One
day
he's just going to be
at lunch today.
The angry black guy be, and just be like, take be, off the earrings. Whip off the wig and
I'm
be
hoping,
like, bitch, please.
I'm hoping for like a 3-month window of I'm done. You voted
I'm
in
gonna
the new
I'm
going
to call it October to January '16 to '17.
Yeah, I got
we're just
going to
get the, listen,
nothing
Newt
left.
Fucking Gingrich. I want one F-bomb out of him.
Oh. Now.
Yeah, on national TV.
Because I feel like
on
he's
CNN.
One of those people.
Actually, Fox News.
Like our friend, yeah.
On Fox News, I want Obama to be like, and fuck you guys. No. Like, not you guys, like the American people.
I want him to look at Bill Riley and be like, suck my big
black
cock.
Dick.
Yes.
He would say cock. I feel like Obama, if given his...
Know.
Eggplant.
You know, it's hard to say because Obama is usually so charismatic and so...
Right.
You know,
everybody's got an angry side.
Everybody's got an angry side.
Everybody's got an F-bomb pent up inside of them that you need to let go like a good poop.
One of the things I've always loved about Obama is he's a super intelligent guy, but he comes across as... so relatable.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen him speak and you see him on TV and I always think to myself, like, if I just randomly happen to be, you know, in a room with him or odds are more likely that I'd be his bartender.
Right.
You know, like we could have a reasonable conversation and a wonderful conversation.
I'm a nurse.
Right.
Be like, you don't got the diff.
No. You're good.
No diff here.
Uh-huh.
So
what a different.
I'm just gonna wash your genitalia because I gotta check off that box later.
Well, that's gonna.
So
take
here at the end of the article, my favorite part here at the end of the article
Amen.
is just some speculation on where Obama came to the term pop-off, because this is not one that has made it to, like, the old guy vernacular. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like,
I have never used that phrase.
But I did just talk about washing the president's cock,
and I think that might be disrespectful.
But but a man who has daughters that are, like...
in a good way.
No.
I made it sound big.
A man old enough to have daughters going into college, like some of you fine folks might be.
Clint's gonna choke over there.
He's older.
Just choke over there. Would not ordinarily say the words pop off. So how did Obama come to this particular phrase?
Is Beyonce and Jay-Z
options are, one, he heard one of his daughters using it last week. Probably Sasha. Wait, definitely Sasha. No doubt about it. He heard Sasha say it.
You named her Sasha. You know you got a pop off in your future.
Two, President Obama has a third unreleased and unshared hashtag POTUS playlist that's composed of nothing but smack rap battles, and he listens to it before any press conference where ISIS and Ben Carson's name might be brought up.
We are collectively too white to ever use the phrase smack rap.
Smack rap.
I can't.
It's like end battle.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can find that on YouTube.
That made me need a poise pad.
Yeah.
The press conference would have only been better had he found a way to work in ISIS is going to get this work. Or number three, and we've all suspected it and we're all hoping for it, but President Obama genuinely gives no fucks at this point. He is fuck devoid, fuck deficient, fuck deprived, fuck destitute. His cupboard of fucks is barren. His tank of fucks has been depleted. You know, on cloudy nights when you might look up into the vast endless sky and not find any stars, the same thing would happen if you looked at Obama and searched for fucks.
That's fantastic.
This, the total absence of fucks, is where pop-off came from.
Who wrote this article?
I want to
this
marry
is
them.
From verysmartbrothers.com.
Oh,
I don't think
verysmartbrothers.com.
I don't think we should stop saying that now. Bag of Nope says, I feel like he's a fuck y'all twice guy. I like that too. Yeah. But I really like suck my, I like him telling Bill O'Reilly to just suck my big black cock.
And the paragraph that I shit on was not the best part. The last paragraph.
You think the Secret Service is going to show up in about 10 minutes?
What would be better?
In about 10 minutes, yeah.
And this is if Obama and Bette Midler got together.
Oh.
Oh.
In a bathhouse.
I would like Obama somewhere around December 2016 to look at Bill O'Reilly and be like, listen, needle dick. Listen, you little hamster fucker.
I want him to call him a cracker.
Cracker.
Yeah, please, call him a cracker.
I don't dare dream that big.
He could change the name of the show to the O'Reilly Cracker. Not the O'Reilly Factor. No,
if he went all Samford and Son and called him Cracker,
I'd
buy popcorn for that shit.
No.
I dreamed a dream.
Listen, the tigers came at night.
Or even better, Cracker Honky Bitch.
Oh.
I don't think we're going to get that.
I think that's, fuck's that's never given.
Megyn Kelly.
Does that mean no worries?
Kind of.
Oh, Megyn Kelly, I want him to tell her.
Look at that.
And if Bill O'Reilly was smart enough to use the word vernacular, there'd be a funny sentence there.
That would be a funny sentence. Zero preparation, and look at that.
Look at you.
Look at the attempt is over.
You got more non-prep in your...
I got nothing.
Works. You got nothing else?
I'm out. No. We're 10 minutes to the end of the show. It's time for Thoughtful.
People in the chat room, you get to play Alyssa's and I'll Skate too.
All right.
And then I don't mean one wine. Keep your hands off it, bitch.
Thoughtful, go.
Oh, also, we have a new producer of the show. I like that.
I'm out of
She's efficient.
Time.
It works.
Well, I was thinking about producing that. We need to have a little ticker tape at the bottom of the video screen on YouTube's now.
Breaking news.
It says that, what?
I don't know. So she could sit here and fact check and like type in shit.
Oh my God, that'd be super fun if I could just type in the bottom of the thing.
We have this if we need it. If we ever really have something.
No, but it would be really funny if she could have like a stream of consciousness.
So I could just do like a
Oh, I don't think I can do a crawler.
Like word vomit.
Oh, a word vomit crawler would please me like punch.
That'd be so.
Okay,
I'd be just as happy as Larry with that.
Got
you.
It.
You would be extra bougie.
Let's see if we can.
It's an Australian expression, but I have no idea how to do an Australian accent, so I made it as southern as anything else.
Just say good day.
Well, I'll just paint my front door red and call myself Elizabeth Arden.
I will not let my personal tragedies interfere with my ability to do good hair.
On that note, we'll do this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity. Where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
All right, our thoughtful vulgarity comes from, well, mostly this show.
the specific one comes from
this installment. Brought to you by Fucks Not Given.
We're going to go back to the comedians that won't play college campuses anymore. The total bullshit about the Yale University sending out the email saying no offensive costumes. The white professor at Yale did a reply all and said, like, it's Halloween. Can we just offend somebody or some such thing? And then people sent him hate mail.
Hmm.
And then we'll go with the comment, don't nobody give two shits about the cracker factor. Sit down, Bill. It's just funny. So my thought is, with this new thing that's going around, this political correctness, what are our thoughts on the no speech policy? Like, you're just not allowed to speak here. And, like, we went over it with Joy Behar, which was the wake-up call for me for, like, okay, I could take offense to that, but I'm like, I know the bitch was A, kidding, B, wasn't paying attention, and C, who gives a shit? It's Joy Behar. Or Rob Lowe commenting on the borders. Like, do we boycott all Rob Lowe, or do we, like, what are your thoughts on this whole new, this new progression of no speech? I think I'm kind of overloading the question with my own.
I think it needs, I think there needs to be a line that's drawn. I mean, you wouldn't, if you're the all-black college like in Atlanta, line? Yes, if like you're the all-black college and all-women's black college in Atlanta, you're not going to invite Andrew Dice Clay to come and have a comedy show.
Or Cosby.
Or Cosby, no. Yeah, either.
Probably not.
You're not going to
have... I'm just saying, stay awake, maybe a no-doze.
But, so just don't invite them. But that doesn't mean if they show up at a bar across the street that you can, you're allowed to say, nobody's allowed to go to this bar.
Right, but what if there's a couple people on campus that organize it? They're like, it's kind of funny. It's kind of harmless. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
then by all means, like, the school shouldn't say, no, you can't do this.
Right, okay.
Like, in my opinion, if it's a state school, if it's a public state school, if it's a private school, those crazy fuckers are paying.
Private school, I guess, do your own thing.
You do your own thing because you're paying more, and that's your, you know, it's like Grand Canyon University here. Like, you're crazy. Go for it.
And they've recently kind of changed
but
their
tune.
But
they totally changed their tune.
Because of Arizona. Because
they like the money that they're getting now.
No, it's because they like the Arizona conservative thing. So they used to be like, well, we're a Christian or Catholic.
Christian.
They're a Christian school. Christian? But you can take, like, world theology and get out of your requirements.
You still sign a contract when you start there as a student saying you're not allowed to do anything homosexual.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Oh, but wait, then you don't know what just happened in the past week. Where they
I did not know about that.
Hang on, then you don't know about this.
Beep, beep, backing up.
Where GCU changed all of it, and now they are giving same-sex employees of the college benefits, which they had previously denied.
Said no. They just changed
They just changed it in the past week.
Because they had started to change their ads.
They're being very Mormon right now
about
things.
But they went
It's yes, 1 week it's no.
They went back, and GCU is the way that most nurses out here get from an RN to a BSN to an MSN. Oh. Like, it really is the local college of note for the healthcare profession to advance your degree. So everyone goes there and everyone's like, it's a Christian school, but you just take the world religion class, you're done. And they're like, and they don't talk about their religion very much, blah, 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 blah. But then they started advertising about it, and all of a sudden they got a little in your face about, like, we're a Christian school. Like, they started to, like, kind of like, we don't want you here.
Right.
Which is the wrong way to take the war on Christmas. But you know what I mean? But for people that aren't Christian, you're like, okay, I guess I don't want to go. Like, and the way I heard it, which is kind of the whole point of this conversation, is I heard it as like, well, I guess you don't want me there because you just keep throwing that word at me. So if I'm not Christian, I guess I shouldn't go. But then to hear this means maybe our message went too far.
Well, they came out and said, you know, okay, we're Christian. We are embracing of all as opposed to excluding somebody. So we realize we don't agree with that. However,
We'll pay for your
dental. It's only fair for us, if you are married, you're in this relationship, we will acknowledge that and give you the benefits.
I never understand
that's also
people
because the government stepping in and saying no.
No, but you can't. It's a private school. Like, well, the government really can't take
as the employees.
Yeah.
Like, but you're, yeah. So you're still you're as an employee.
They want
that
a black
private,
eye. They want a PR black eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Because you still want people to come to your school, and right. If you're turning away people, all right. So you're whatever your name is. You.
That's
you.
Well,
go.
Sure. I'll take it. That's a lot of question happening there.
Yeah.
There's this is a big... We could do a whole three-hour show just on this.
Oh, no, we can't. We won't.
34 minutes.
Maximum, and I think we're going to do less than that.
I think, first of all, we need to remember that you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. You know what I mean?
It's like a Donna Summer lyric.
Exactly.
She may have...
Donna Summer knows.
Yeah.
Donna Summer knows.
She's on it. Finger on the pulse.
That you can please all the people
the
some
trigger.
Of the time.
Yeah.
Maybe on the
and
trigger.
Some of the people all the time, but you can't please all the people all the time.
Always looking for some hot stuff, though.
Parenthetically, too hot stuff.
Yeah. And you really...
And it's this thing, like, there has to be a point of reason. There has to be a point of calm down. You know what I mean? Like, even this show is... Probably a little more than casually, a little bit racist sometimes, but I don't
think... A little?
Think, what?
Yeah.
But I will say...
But there's intent to consider...
Like,
wait, okay. Calm, sit down, sir right. or ma'am. There's intent to consider, too, because I don't think any of us is really...
malicious.
Well, malicious or truly believes in it. Like, we love stereotypes and puns and bad jokes and internet memes and the pop culture of a lot of things, mm-hmm. but I don't think... And I might be wrong. Like, you all might just be racist motherfuckers. And
yeah.
I'm just sitting over here being all, like...
Masking
from Utah
behind.
And not knowing any better. But I don't think there's any malicious nature behind it. And I think there's a lot to be said for intent.
Oh, most definitely.
I don't know. So...
And I'm not trying to justify it or excuse it, because
right.
I'll stand by it, because Harrison's known me for 30 years.
Sure.
If there's an off-color, offensive joke to be made... I'm the first one that's going to grab the ring.
Right, and, you know, satire comes from there, and a lot of stand-up comedy comes from a place of just almost offensive.
Right, and we were talking about that with Saturday Night Live. Like, there's that
right.
line, and we have to get
and
that comedian's name.
And you have to push,
name.
Like, right up to it.
Yeah, the comedian on SNL. But she just keeps her foot, both feet, one boob, most of her right arm, over that line to make sure that you stay... uncomfortable. And that kind of comedy is so rare now. People are so afraid of it that you just, as soon as you say it, I'm going to know and it's going to drive me crazy. But you're just going to know. But and Amy Schumer does that same thing that she's accused of racism.
Yeah.
She's accused of this. But Amy Schumer is just making you aware that there's a line. I know where it is. I'm going to be on the other side of it. Like, I'm just going to offend you. It's kind of rare for women comics. I think it's more of kind of a big advancement for them that they get to do what, like, Richard Pryor or George Carlin, all those people that were, like, just turning it around and in your face and making you squirm in your seat. Like,
well, even Joan Rivers was chastised a little bit about that, because she would make comments about things because she realized that if you don't laugh at it and make fun of it, that's what comedy was. Like, there's videos in the documentary of a piece of work. That's one of the things she goes, you know, she goes with some lip service back and forth with the guy in the audience that was claiming that she was being rude or
offensive to deaf people.
Right,
and
right. And she's like, no, it's comedy. If you don't get it, get out. Like, that's...
Yeah. If you can't make fun of it. If you go somewhere and everything's not on the table... then leave, which is what these comedians are talking about. Like, do you take the invitation to UCLA, to Berkeley, which is the one that's always shocking that Berkeley is, like, refusing things. But right. So, I mean, your thoughts on this? I mean, just...
Are you talking about Leslie Jones?
Leslie Jones.
There you
I'm
go.
So sorry that I couldn't remember her name.
I thought it was going to be a little more intricate name than that. It's a very simple... It's like John Smith.
Yeah, and the fact that she always keeps me interested. Like, I tune back in to see when she's going to show up and just be Leslie Jones... Because she's so on the other side of the comfortable line, and people are always complaining about her. I'm like, you're doing something right. If people are complaining, you're doing something right. Go ahead.
I am agreeing with, like, what Carlton was saying earlier. I think if you're a private school, No, we're talking about them hiring them. Not do you accept the invitation? Was that how we're?
No, right. Do you accept the like these? Because Seinfeld won't do college campuses anymore. Bill Maher's constantly complaining about college campuses. All these comedians are like, we just won't go anymore. Like because they disinvited us, they invite us, they have protests.
I'd rather go to a Coliseum, sell out the people who are paying to come watch me say the same shit, as opposed to you're going to chastise me. Granted, the colleges do often pay them.
Oh, they do. Absolutely.
But then they circuit pays.
Then they
give them degrees.
Give them shit honorary. Yeah, bullshit.
But then they take it away when you date rape somebody. Turns out there's a line.
Crazy. That's the line. Jason was talking about earlier. You got to draw a line. But also, that's the line.
As a collective agreement, don't you guys think that also over the advent of social media, or how prevalent it is in our lives now, this is why we're talking about it? Because 15 years ago, there would be a comedian that would piss somebody off. But you wouldn't hear about it because it was just in the news.
And somebody wasn't taping it on their phone.
Right. And the beauty and the tragedy of the internet and social media is everyone's perspective is available in my hand right now.
Right now.
I can see your perspective if you want to share it. I can see your perspective if you want to share it. I can see Leslie Jones' perspective if she wants to share it. And I can see all of your thoughts and all of your everything that you want to put out there. That's the beauty and the horror of the internet is because it's all there.
Yeah. And you could see where Asians would line up and protest us ever coming to speak anywhere. Like
a lot. Yeah.
I mean, Asians, us in particular, this group, or us as white Americans?
No. This room is never being invited.
We can narrow that down to like 5 or 6 people.
Okay. No, because the Asians...
Everyone who's ever appeared on this show.
Listen, out of all of races in this world, I think the Asian...
is one of them.
Well, that is one of them. They are the most well accepting and kind and forgiving out of, if you could say that a race can do that.
If you wanted to get picky, there are about 400 different cultures on the continent of Asia. So
there is. Right. But almost all of those cultures are...
Bad drivers.
Yes.
Very short.
Right.
Good at math.
Have a
fake profiles that sleep
in my defense. I'm stupid enough to still find Helen Keller jokes offensive. No,
not
funny.
Offensive. Funny. Thank you.
Wow, I have never ever been uncomfortable about a Helen Keller joke. I actually encourage your inner Helen Keller jokester.
God Almighty.
No, but I don't.
The deaf and the blind are gone.
I don't think it's an infringement of free speech or anything. It's just, I mean, if you don't want to perform there, don't perform there.
If you don't want to talk in the mic, don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
no, I'm saying right now, just because you're not. There. Vastly different. My mom texts me every time you don't talk in the mic.
Oh, sorry.
We did it with Marnie for like a year.
I'm not used to it. I want to, because it's sitting around talking to friends. Right, and that's what I'm doing.
Right.
It's what we always do, just with mics and headphones.
I know, but now I just got to learn. Can I get a Britney if I can?
No, that's what I want. But they're like $300 a hit to get the Madonna, Britney Spears, Jackson headphones.
I'm like, that way I can move my head from side. I can Will Smith and whip my hair back and forth.
Right, you can.
And I still am going to have.
Have we beaten up this topic?
I haven't given my point.
Oh, you're not done yet. Oh, I thought you give your point all the time.
No, I saved it for last.
Oh, go ahead, Al.
Oh, layers of sarcasm.
Because that bougie bitch.
The bougie bitch has something to say. So what I would like to say to college students who may or may not ever listen to this.
Fuck you.
Suck Obama's big black cock.
First.
I mean, if
that.
He puts it out there, by all means.
I would.
Because remember Queens of Comedy when she was like, why are people offended that Bill Clinton got his dick sucked? You're the president. You should get your dick sucked all the time.
Yeah. You deserve
it. Every fucking day you should be getting a handy and a blowy.
That's the only thing I have against Hillary. She wasn't doing her job at that point.
But now he's got to go down on her.
Yep, a lot.
My God. He better be like burying his face in the
Hillary
squirrel
was
every
sucking
fucking
his dick
night.
Every day, he wouldn't have had Monica do it.
I know. Anyways,
So this. How do you feel like, way out of that one?
I feel like Galinda. I'm gonna turn on the yellow light now.
To rise.
So let's move along. Right.
So I do have to say to college
I'm never
students
getting invited
and people
back.
Everywhere.
I didn't invite you in the first place. I got a text
Points
from her.
McKee.
I got a text from her.
My guess. It's okay to be offended. You're going to live through being offended, and you're going to be offended a whole lot in your whole life.
In life, yeah.
No. Just to think that in your college years at UC Berkeley that you're going to just stay unoffended is an unrealistic and stupid goal. It's okay to be offended. Being threatened is a problem.
Very different.
A swastika made of feces on your mirror, people calling out racial slurs as they drive by your house and make you feel unsafe is not offended. You're being threatened. You're being attacked. Someone coming on the campus and saying something that you might find offensive, that's free speech. You get to say something back and engage in the conversation. If Jerry Seinfeld makes a joke that you find offensive, you can take your voice to social media and say your point of view. Maybe you'll have a conversation. Maybe one of you will change your mind. Maybe not. Maybe both of you will just think you're ignorant fucks and move on.
Or maybe you'll learn what sarcasm and humor is.
Or, it's, as Jon Stewart pointed out after 9/11, like, is satire dead? Like, are we able to satire something? Can right. we still have irony in this post-9/11 age? That was his worry, and it turns out you can't. Any small threat now is, like, this big thing. You should be offended once in a while. You should mm-hmm. read something that
Set
literally
you
sets you off and makes you offended. It's a good thing. Don't stop these voices. It's a liberal arts education. You should get everyone's point
all
of view.
All of the perspectives, right.
And you should find out that there are people that say rebel flag and think it's... And you can talk to them, or you can just decide, okay, these people think that's a rebel flag, and they think that it was the war of northern aggression. You can maybe talk to them and convince them, but maybe you can't. But you have to engage. And you have to have, like, the answer to this free speech thing isn't no speech. Like, we have to protect the people's right to, like, march down the street with swastikas. It's ugly. Mm-hmm. But if they're not threatening someone, if they're just marching, march. Have your speech.
Sure.
And we can all counteract with more speech. The answer is never to not speak or keep someone from speaking. And it's because someone might do it to us.
Right.
Someone might come from the other direction and decide that we're the ones that shouldn't right. be able to talk. So you have to allow it. If you're threatened, you're threatened. That's different.
Again, it's intent.
It's intent. Yeah. But if you're offended,
shut up.
Get the fuck over it and be offended. You're going to be offended. You're not going to make it past 22 without being offended. I don't know how to break it to this new generation of people in college. Like, it's just not
Things
possible.
Hurt, right.
Things hurt. You
when
are going to lose.
Down, it's
you don't
hurt.
Always
when
get a ribbon. You don't
broken,
always get a trophy.
Hurt.
Yeah.
Right. These are all of the shelters. Someone
somebody doesn't like
of
you.
The students, or is it the majority of the faculty and the people that
the
run
faculty this? Are not. The faculty are kind of against it. It's these students that are like bringing these movements on, and they're all these student-led movements of like, we don't want this person because they said this at one point. Everyone has said something. Everyone's
some
against
point.
Trevor Noah. Noah Trevor. Because he had some horrible tweets a couple years ago about that were anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
But he sends a pout like, okay, you grew from it. You realize sure. that's not funny. It doesn't play. It doesn't work. You come across as an asshole. Maybe you met some Jewish people. You get to apologize.
Drove a Mercedes.
And move.
Sure.
But you do get to apologize and move on. You don't have to stay in that box.
No, like, that's even my favorite Sarah Silverman song. Why do all Jews drive German cars?
Right. Yeah, oh. It is... And
great.
Again,
they make great cars offensive. And great ovens.
It's offensive to someone, but you gotta let her go. Jesus, yeah. Jesus Magic, whatever it's called. Jesus is Magic, that funniest movie ever. You just mentioned something that
Mercedes ovens. What talking about?
Oh what? No,
no. Like even Huckabee, like he could tomorrow say, "I am so sorry that Kim Davis is a cunt. I have some friends. They're gay. I fully support them." They're not the Antichrist. Maybe I should have changed my mind earlier. And like everyone else in America that's changed their mind, you have to like, okay.
Right.
Because if not, then we can't accept Hillary. We can't accept Obama.
Everybody grows.
You're allowed to grow.
You're allowed to grow.
In fact,
and change. Exactly. You can be an asshole yesterday and be something
we
different.
We encourage you to be a better person
with knowledge,
tomorrow.
With learning,
that's
with conversation.
That's why it's stupid that conversations have happened with Hillary. That
say
well,
that
she's changed her mind.
Say that
well,
again.
No, you're supposed to change
our minds.
Your mind.
Say what you just said. Say it again.
What'd I say?
We encourage
we encourage you to be a better person tomorrow.
That's
yeah.
It. Oh, good.
No, it really is.
Write that down.
I am.
All right. Everyone else too. Like, write it down right now. We'll wait.
Yeah. And there's
I'll
something
tweet it. No, we're waiting.
I'll
you know
hashtag
what I mean?
It.
Will you?
Like yeah. I have
hashtag
learned
be
over
a better person tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. So, in your 3 hours and
question.
10 minutes with this show, what have you learned?
Well, number one, I already knew that. I was going to say that, I mean, especially about this topic, we have to be more accepting and
allow ourselves to be offended and not tell the rest of the world about it. You can internalize your offenses.
You can feel something without everyone else hearing it.
And you don't need to get on social media and be like, I don't like a fucking red cup. Okay, you can keep that red cup to yourself.
I have them here, ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't need to get on social media and be
still
like...
I'm solo cups. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's the whole stupid Starbucks cup thing. Yeah. They haven't put Merry Christmas on it for the last... I'll own that one. Like, take offense to it if you so feel like you need to take offense to it.
An offense might even be a little bit bigger word than needs to be used. Maybe it doesn't sit with you quite well.
You just don't like it.
You're uncomfortable. I don't know that...
Because you're a bougie bitch, though, you don't like
but,
it.
But no. in fairness, what you're saying, it is true. Everybody decides to go from 0 to 60,
yeah.
And oh, I'm offended. No, you just don't like what they said.
Yeah.
You're not really offended, you freak of
Thank
nature.
Thank God for yeah. minute 12 of this
so that's what I've. So that's what I've learned is... Maybe people, including myself, need to internalize and keep to themselves some of their thoughts about what they think they're offended about.
Oh, definitely me. I'm high on that list.
Keep it the calm fucking down.
I don't think I get offended easily. I don't think I get offended at all. Some things bother you. Things bother me. Things make me uncomfortable. But I think I'm one of those people who really doesn't get offended that often.
I'm offended by dumb.
That's why we're married.
Like,
I don't think
seriously,
I'm offended.
Like, personally offends me.
I had a woman the other day ask me how she was on the second floor. How do I get downstairs? It doesn't offend me. It bothers me because you're dumb.
Yeah,
I'd start with down.
I'm like, well, you got up here one of like 18
ways.
How'd
you get here? Sure.
So you're gonna
go back the way you
go
came.
Go back the way you came, or use an elevator, an escalator, or. Stairs, or you know,
it is. In fairness, it is confusing in the hotel you work in. That
no, that's happened that to me even at BS West when there's one set of staircase
and you came up it.
You just walked up it and you said, "How do I get to the downstairs bar?"
Well, you could jump. You could jump.
Oh, that's an option.
So gravity will help you on this. That if you're dumb, that really bothers me.
It bothers me, but I wouldn't say I'm offended by it.
To social media before.
I'm offended by it.
If you're dumb, I'm going to call you out.
Here's why.
Oh. Is it two-parter?
Two things. Number one.
So in your year plus with the show, I feel like that's mathematically accurate.
I feel like that's...
Actually, didn't we just have... Your anniversary just happened, didn't it?
Probably.
Oh, we should go back and find out.
We'll look that up later.
It was September. It was the daughter's birthday.
Well,
How does no one remember that little girl's birthday, September 2nd? Even Katie June had to be reminded when she was like, I need September 2nd off because it's your daughter's birthday. Yeah.
Well,
her first show.
I was a part-time employee in September.
From the daughter's birthday through the election.
And then post-election.
Katie came back from like 2 weeks and then...
Post-election, I was offered a full-time position.
So it was
alongside Katie June, hence this microphone
right here. That's when I went to all the fucking trouble.
Right.
And she stayed 1 week.
And then...
What's the matter with Katie?
You know what? I can tell you.
We did that. She didn't come for like 2 weeks, and then we showed.
We actually it was added to the music list on the 17th of February. That's when I added that track to the list.
That's when Katie officially left because there was like a month and a half of both of us.
Oh yeah,
both of us. Oh, was that long? Okay,
yeah, it was that long. Well, because it's only a weekly show, so it's only like six episodes.
But it seems longer, doesn't it?
It sure does.
This three hours has seemed like a week.
So what have you learned in your year plus, as I said correctly earlier, and then we had to have a whole thing where we verify those statements.
Yeah, Clayton always blames you on running long. I think it's him.
Bougie.
No.
I'm kidding.
I'd like there to be
kidding.
A debate timer where how long he talks and how long I talk on this show.
I am teasing.
I've learned just that there is general. A time... I've learned how to say things four times before I finish the sentence, and then that there is a time and place for details, because sometimes...
So you get the eye contact?
Right. Until I've got you, and it's really you. Until I've got you by the ears, parenthetically.
Metaphor.
Wow. God, I just thought about Obama again.
Matt Marasco, he says, big ears, big cock.
Yeah, because sometimes nobody notices the details, but sometimes that detail really matters. And I think you could probably expand that into a greater life lesson in that, like, sometimes a little shit matters and sometimes it just doesn't. Sometimes nobody's going to know that we made this shit up.
Yeah. Maybe. I think it's pretty clear that we made this shit up.
Some, I think.
Some of it
but
we
there's
make
always
out.
Those people, those stupid people that are like, oh, God, that's the gospel.
Yeah.
Because I can sell shit.
Well, again.
Fuck yeah.
So, well, the,
we can also, everyone at this table.
People believe that two penguins walked to the Mideast to get on an ark.
Ben Carson and thought the pyramids were for grain.
Yeah.
Because no one told him they opened them.
Yeah.
Well, first we x-rayed it. Listen, bitch.
Yeah. What have I learned in my... tonight? What,
no,
what's
the in, 3 years
in your
plus.
Entire run of Q Talk America?
Yeah, mine was just for tonight.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
And hers was for, since she's been here, and I've been here the
have
whole
you got
time.
The theme
it's,
yet?
Like, it's like Goldilocks. Look,
just tonight, a little bit longer. Now you,
right? Just the tip.
I feel like you've been here since the beginning.
More. I love that.
I'm not sure.
Just the tip,
but I feel like,
and I'm the one that has the most vulgar,
right,
asshole voice ever.
Just I like the, just Mark, the tip.
Yeah.
Tip. Two pump chomp.
Two pump chomp.
Blocking the mud duck over here.
Yeah, block.
I'm mud duck blocker.
I feel I might be the mud duck in this story later.
Maybe.
I like that Marnie, after our word has been bougie bitch, says arrogance offends me.
That's good, Marn.
I don't get it.
I'm going to need a thesaurus.
McKee, what have you learned? In your,
I have learned something that I've relearned something that I already knew, and it's really nice when it is proven multiple folds in your life that laughter really is the best medicine. When you can come together in we are an outlet for certain people. They like the show. They listen to it for various reasons because they're either oppressed in their culture where they don't have an outlet like this, or we get occasionally a message from somebody that says, you know, I live. You know, you're my outlet. I live for your show every week to listen to you guys talk about whatever, just because we're funny and we laugh and we get the freedom to carry on and do what we want to do every week without really any repercussions. But the fact that the laughter,
Brett, you haven't checked your email after tonight.
Tonight was not nearly the most racist show.
But that
ever,
laughter is the best medicine thing. Like there are some nights where we don't laugh as much, but there are some nights that we just. You laugh so hard in this room, or whatever room we happen to be in currently, that you almost hurt.
A, B,
like,
C,
right. But no, that's it's just a further verification that laughter is the best medicine, and enjoying your friends and having that organic, because I think it's organic with us. I mean, we come in and we don't rehearse, and if you can't tell that we don't rehearse this show, then you obviously have never listened before.
I got some land to sell you.
Right.
We're going to sell you all kinds of
in
shit.
In Utah? Yeah.
So, no, but I think that is further verification that a set thing of one day a week, you get to come together with friends and laugh and make jokes about things and get stuff off your chest. It just, it's good. It's healthy for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I learned that the retard word is more aggressive than I ever thought it was.
That's pretty aggressive.
Have you tried using it somewhere else and found out that it didn't fly?
No, but I'm really aware of how often everyone around me uses it, and especially at work in the healthcare profession.
When they say retarded, not retard though, right?
Oh, they say all of it.
All of it.
Like,
well, that's why I just change it to fucktard. That works a lot better.
I do too, and I find that HR is happier with that word too. They're like, well, fucktard. With the choice of the two, we feel like the write-up is a little less aggressive with fucktard. No, but it really is one of those wake-up calls where, like, that wasn't something that I ever took, like, serious. I thought that was, like, the politically correct people just coming after me. But then sometimes I listen to it and I'm like, well...
Is that because you've sat for this long next to Marnie, who does take an eyebrow rise? And
right. So, I mean, but as I would say to her coming into this show, the word I was always offended by was cunt.
Oh.
I did not like that
and
word.
Now
when
you
we started.
Use that on a daily
That's
basis.
Ironic.
I still do. If you listen to the show, I don't use it that much during the show. Like, I'm the last one to throw it out. Like, I'll throw it out once.
Marnie is like.
On it.
Christmas with it.
Right.
Yeah.
You get a cunt. You get a cunt.
Oh, yeah. Oprah. She's like the Oprah of cunt.
Cunt. Yeah.
You get a cunt.
Everybody gets a cunt.
Wow. But it's still one of those words that. And so to me, it's always one of those
we
things.
We need a
where
picture
like,
of Marnie like this so that we can meme it. Oprah of cunts.
But,
everybody gets
and
a
I
cunt.
Was always happy with Sex and the City for giving us See You Next Tuesday because it's a word that I don't really like.
Right.
And I call it my special occasion word because I have to like really be like. Down on someone to throw that word out. I've become much looser.
A lot like love.
I've gotten tighter with the retard word, but really liberal with the word I don't like. So it's kind of funny as you like adapt to other people's norms. You know what I mean? Like something that I found completely offensive is now like something we type to each other, like a hello and goodbye. Right. And I'm like, that's an ugly word.
Oh, and Harrison bowed out of the
but we all say because of the joke from Sex and the City of See You Next Tuesday. Right. Like, because Charlotte wouldn't say the word on that show. But and I have a couple of friends in nursing that like they love it, and the one throws it out, and I've always called it my special occasion word.
Well, Percocets are fun, though. I enjoy Percocets.
Yeah, so it really is that give and take, and it's the not being offended. It's the listening and getting someone else's perspective. And you might have a conversation with it. You might lessen your use of something or increase your use of something or be like, oh, okay, that's not nice.
So do we need to parlay that into racism?
No.
No.
I'm not saying this conversation now, but like that same kind of thought process of you just need to learn. Like, I think when it comes to white-black racism, especially in the South, it's because these people weren't raised correctly. They've never been taught how to use the words or not use the words.
Yeah.
Like, and how that these people need to evolve, and they're not given a chance to.
I would equate this to I would make a car analogy out of this. And you'll know this. These two won't. You'll probably get this from being in the South.
I know what a car is.
There are people.
Seriously, you don't know
my
life.
People that their entire family has always driven a Chevy. Fuck Fords. They're pieces of shit. They've never once in their whole life.
Dixer Daily.
Right, but they've
found on the road.
But they've never ever.
They've never even been in a
Ford. They've never driven. They've not driven a Ford lately.
Yeah.
They've never experienced anything but a Chevy. I don't care if the Chevy's broke down. It's better than a Ford.
Yeah.
All the time. Then there are the reverse. It's the Fords. So it's the same thing. They've been brought up believing that all of this race are horrible, and they steal, and they do this, and they do that. They're raised that way, so they have never entertained the idea that there is a chance that somebody out there could be genuine and loving and giving of...
And have the same values.
Yeah, have the same
values. Similar
values.
It's the same thing that with words that we use that may be offensive to somebody.
A word that offends you, I'm good with. But if you feel threatened by it, that's a different use of the word. And you have to know the difference between, ouch, that hurts, and, oh, wait, are you threatened? Like, is that a threat? Right.
Yeah. Because when I call you a fag, it doesn't offend you or hurt you.
No.
If I use that and somebody heard me use that
towards
you.
But I can tell by a tone.
Yeah. Oh, right.
If we's in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, but it's...
We's in the wrong neighborhood.
If you're in a back alley and you hear...
Hey, faggot. You're right. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Right. In my Chevy truck or whatever. Yeah. Run.
Yeah, and they're usually white.
But not like.
Sadly, yes.
Hey, fag, let's go get a drink. You know.
Right.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, all right.
I'll call Kat a fag. Racist. Okay.
And the internet is for porn. Yes, Kat, you are completely correct about that. The
internet is for porn.
Porn. I love porn.
Hands up. Well, down.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Either way,
wherever you feel it's appropriate.
Judges,
left hand up, right hand down.
We'll allow it. All right, everybody, thank you again for being with us. It's another 3-hour, 24-minute jaunt into love and tenderness. We call it the show. You call it, I don't know what the fuck you call it, but you're here every week, and we thank
something
you. Everybody
that happened to me.
Everybody in the chat room, wherever you're listening to all the ships at sea.
The shit shows.
We will be here next week. It's our Thanksgiving show, so join us. Grab a beverage. Grab some food.
Grab a turkey leg.
And as we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.